If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Cloudy with patchy fog and drizzle this morning. Partial clearing this afternoon. We're looking for highs in the upper 60s to the mid 70s.
Gigantic vagina. Biggest vagina known to man. Huge. It's gigantic. Gigantic. These big vagina ladies are getting away with murder. Something should be done. I don't know what can be done, but something should be done.
You shouldn't encourage people to be fat. Fat people are immoral.
This message goes out to ugly people and fat people. Don't reproduce.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. It's, you've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
And now,
you know what I have to say to that? What? Oh, I thought I was going to fart.
Our feature presentation.
I got to tell you, I'm going to miss him as a public speaker.
Well, I learned a lot from that. I now know exactly what tribal sovereignty means. So he's an educator, too.
I don't think since the beginning of the United States, there's been a worse public speaker that makes more, you know, mistakes. And there never will be either, I don't think. This is really unique in that we're living in the good times. I know maybe some of his other stuff isn't good, but his public speaking, come on, we're never gonna see anyone else like that.
Magic.
By the way, we've all been in that position that the president was in, where he was in front of a group of people, the spotlight was on, and he was asked a question he didn't know the answer to, and he had to punt. I mean, most of us have done that on many occasions, certainly through high school, you do that when you're up in front of the class and they ask you a question. You just make it up as you go along and hope that it sounds convincing enough.
I still do that every day.
In his case, he's the president, so he's not going to get called on it. Nobody's going to do the follow-up question and go, we know tribal sovereignty is tribes that are sovereign. But beyond that, what does it mean? You know, nobody's going to force him to add to that.
But he's
so
got
he gets
that,
away with it.
He's got that deer in the headlights where, he's just kind of blankly looking and everybody's all trying to figure out what is he possibly going to try and say.
Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
That is a bad thing.
That's true, though. Yeah. He's right about that.
He is right. I mean, how do you argue that?
You end up in jail, you practice your love. You know what I mean? So I think they'll – well, depending on who's next, we may miss. You know, this is hard to imagine, but, you know, depending on some of these candidates, if they get elected, we may pray for the day George Bush was our president. We may look back and go, well, those really were the good years.
Yeah, but
for that reason.
Yeah,
not
for
the public speaking
reason. Unfortunately. Yeah. We will never have this good of a public speaker again as of the president of the United States because it isn't possible for anyone else to be that bad.
Yeah, it was such a fluke that he got in twice. Let's try to explain that.
I love him. No way. What? No.
What are you doing? Dude.
No.
1 week from today, call to the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Thanksgiving, oh, Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
Turkey things are going to happen.
Come on.
Gobble, gobble.
A week from today.
Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree.
Are you kidding me?
I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window pane.
Thanksgiving cooks.
I wish that the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me are the lyrics that Omar came up with, by the way. See, what happens is we call 1-800-BUTTERBALL, Kevin, and Ralph pretends to be the turkey, and I'm the farmer who's trying to catch them. And hilarity ensues.
Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree.
Big finish.
Stop talking. You're misleading the audience.
Shut the f*** up.
That's right. Let's not do that, for God's sake.
Lisa, you're with me, right?
We play this every day until Thanksgiving.
Come on.
Every day.
The kids demanded it, Kevin.
No,
there was nothing
one
I could do.
There's
nothing I could do.
Nobody demanded it except you.
Amazing.
The problem was that Halloween Spooks comes and goes too fast. People just start to get into it, and then it's gone, and they can't wait another year. So now it's back in time for Thanksgiving.
And by they and the people,
I mean the
you
kids,
mean
you know.
You.
No, the kids.
Oh, yeah. You got a lot of emails saying, hey, can you dummy up one for Thanksgiving?
I got a lot of emails that I dummied up saying that, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Let's hear it for Omar, by the way.
Yes.
Come on. What are the pilgrims
great.
On that?
Whatever
how about
you were
that?
On that day. You know.
That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. You're a great singer. You're right on.
Well, anyway, a week from today, I know you've been looking forward to it, but that is definitely going to happen. The Butterball Turkey Hotline, by the way, opens today. Today is the first day that it is open through Thanksgiving.
Hey,
that's
kidding.
Great information. So if you're making a turkey today on the 14th.
Well, there are people who plan ahead who maybe need some ideas before they decide what size turkey to buy and that sort of thing. We're doing the – this year we're going to some friend's house, hard to believe, mm-hmm. but we're doing the deep-fried one.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
The deep-fried
yeah.
one you dip it in the oil?
Yeah,
apparently
good.
You cook it in like 45 minutes.
Isn't that the one that starts fires?
I think so, yes.
Starts fires? I don't
know. Yeah, because you put it in this huge vat of oil.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think what attracted me to it is that I believe it's the most fattening way to make a turkey. I think that's how you can get the most calories and the worst food for you is preparing it that way.
And that's what you shoot for.
That's what I look for, right.
He's looking for danger and fat in his Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
Every year, Kevin, at least one house burns down because they did that.
Fantastic.
Well, I hope it's not my friend's house where we're going because they built the house themselves with their own two hands. So
yes.
That's kind of sad to see it go.
And then everybody else can be thankful that it wasn't their house.
That's true.
Where they're actually doing a service for everyone to help
It does
them.
Give a focus to the holiday if that happens. You're right about that. So anyway,
you guys understand about 2 weeks and a couple of days, it's going to be, I don't know, December.
Yes.
Is that crazy?
I do understand that.
What's happening?
I knew it was coming because I noticed this month was November.
I know, but
so there was some warning there.
What it happened to November? November is like it was the first yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
And today's the 14th.
Yeah.
It's half over. I know. Well, the good news is we get to meet a new Miss Double December in 2 weeks.
That's true.
The bad news is we're going to exchange gifts in a few weeks.
Oh, don't even start with that.
I got to actually start thinking about shopping.
Speaking of Miss Double December, we have started that contest, mm-hmm. and you can go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and there's a submissions link there. And you can put up pictures. You got to answer questions. You have to be 21 or above. Is that right? 21 or above?
21 or over, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because we do some live shows where there's drinking, so you got to be able to join us.
So so go there if you want to apply. If you got them, flaunt them. That's the
nice melons.
All right, Wednesday the 14th of Blovember. We are going to have some live music at 6 o'clock.
Dude, that doesn't happen very often. Must not be much of a name.
Doesn't happen ever, but it's Bean's birthday, and he has suggested that we have Dick Cheese.
Oh, that's lovely.
So Dick Cheese will be here just after the top of the hour.
Great.
And that's funny because he's notorious for not wanting to get up before noon.
Yeah.
And here he is.
There he is. So that's coming up this morning.
Looking forward to that. We're going to be performing live. Going to be playing. They got a new album out of TV theme songs, which is very good. So I'm sure we'll hear some of those.
Assistant producer Alex has a new boyfriend, and we're going to call and talk to him.
Ooh.
Great.
She goes out of her way to run into a guy. He works at a store, and she goes out of her way to go in and just find stuff to talk to him about.
No kidding.
We've all done that. I can't tell you how many things I had to buy at the Sharper Image one summer. I wish she had worked someplace. Yep, I wish she had worked someplace where they sold cheaper stuff. I'll tell you that.
No
got
kidding.
Expensive going in there every day.
We have a band performing live too. A little bit later in the show, Feist will be here.
They're
bands.
Good.
Wow,
they're way good.
They are good. Let's see. We have the executive producer of 24 on today, who's going to tell us about this writer's strike and how long it's going to take, and blah 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 blah.
Okay.
He's essentially shut down right now.
Man,
right?
I'll tell you, I saw last night they were doing a report of how many shows most of them have left, you know, mm-hmm. like the hour dramas right. or whatever. Most of them have one or two shows, and they're out.
Yeah, December will be – there'll be nothing new in the month of December after like the 3rd or 4th or something like that. They're pretty much all out. Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
And also a little night number 2 announcement for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. 7:15 this morning, we will announce the bands for night number 2.
Okay.
Big, big news there. And also, last night was a new Tila Tequila, A Shot at Love on the MTV. And we hope to hear from LaQuisha later today. She's got, usually on Wednesday, she's got highlights of last night's show. So that's a lot of show, by the way. It's a big program.
It certainly is.
Well,
let's get started. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And okay. K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 200. 2007. Sorry.
Oh, my God. Sweet.
Sorry. I got a little confused there.
That was a moment with Kevin.
It was our 200.
Can you believe it's 207 already? I mean, the years are just flying by. I just feel like it was the centennial a couple of years ago, and it's already 207.
Why can't we put out an album of Kevin's greatest hits? Why can't that happen?
Because there isn't enough plastic in the world to make a CD that large.
We could probably get nominated for some sort of a comedy Grammy if we put that. It'd be the funniest thing released this year, that's for sure.
Easily. And then Kevin could announce at the Grammys and announce himself and say his name wrong. That's what he would do while they were recording that. And up for comedy Grammy, Kevin Reeder. Rieder. Rieder. Cut.
We have a huge show ahead here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, including live music from Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine just after 6, just after 8 this morning, live music from Feist. Right now, Ralph is here with and of course, the announcement for night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 207 coming up at around 7:20 this morning here on K-Rock. Now Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday.
She's all right, that Feist, by the way.
Yeah,
she is. Very,
very talented.
The whole album is great.
She Canadian or something?
Yep. Yes.
I'm guessing.
Toronto.
You ever hear her... her cover of the Bee Gees song "Love You Inside Out." Did you ever hear that, Ralph? That was on an earlier album. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got to send you a copy. Very cool. That.
I've got this album with the 1, 2, 3, 4 on it, but I don't have any of her other stuff.
Yeah, so. The one before called "Let It Die" is a real, real good record
I'll have
too.
Pick it up. It's great to have the chilly mornings when you come into work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's nice and chilly. Makes you feel like fall. Makes you feel like fall's in the air. But it just doesn't feel like Thanksgiving to me until I hear Thanksgiving Cooks.
Oh, stop.
You know, that is really the beginning of the Thanksgiving season for me.
We've never played it before.
Are you kidding me? It's my favorite Thanksgiving song.
We played it one time.
Apparently, you don't listen.
How can it be your favorite?
Because it's been around for generations.
Omar made it yesterday.
That is just not true.
I'm with Ralph on this. I remember when I was like 7, 8 years old.
Yes.
That's when I first fell in love with that song. And then after that, I didn't want to start thinking about the holidays until I heard it again. You're absolutely right.
Oh, God, here we go again.
They used to make us sing it in school, I remember. We used to sing it in assembly.
No one's singing that.
They get together for assembly. We'd get the Glee Club up on stage and they'd sing Thanksgiving Cooks.
So great. Remember the year the Osmonds did it on the Grammys or something?
Yeah.
They came out and did that?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I can't believe you. Don't shut up.
So maybe a little bit later, you'll get some more Thanksgiving cooks.
Oh, yeah, shut up, dude.
Absolutely.
Great, great song. Well, we are deep into week 2 of the writer's strike. And as you know, I have been carefully following the chants going on with the picketers in front of each of the big studios, TV and film. And thank you to all the K-Rock listeners who are giving me what they've been hearing as they drive by the picketers. This is a good one. I think they're finally listening to us, and they're coming around.
You're stepping it up?
Yeah, this one outside of Paramount Studios yesterday, according to Krista. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I've been told TV reruns can get old.
Wow.
Pretty strong, huh?
How about that? Pretty strong compared to the earlier ones.
So they alternated that with, I don't know, but I've been told Sumner Redstone's made of gold. I think it's pretty strong, too. So.
Must be a former Marine in that writer's guild group right there.
Well done, picketers. Have you seen that Kelly Picketer, that country singer? She's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, Britney Spears heads into court today for yet another hearing about her custody battle with ex-husband Kevin Federline. And just in time for the hearing, she's tested positive for methamphetamine.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Isn't that the first we've heard of some sort of serious drug being proved like
yes.
that?
Yes.
You know, she has to take the random drug testing.
Right.
And apparently, one of the tests popped up positive for methamphetamine. Now, her people are trying to spin it.
That isn't good for you.
By saying it's a prescription drug called Provigil. However, that doesn't show up on court-ordered drug tests unless they're specifically looking for it, which they weren't.
How about that?
So then Britney's people said, oh, no. Did we say Provigil? We meant albuterol, an asthma drug. Now, here's the thing. Brittany doesn't have asthma.
Sure.
But it has been widely rumored that she uses asthma inhalers as an appetite suppressant when she's trying to lose weight.
That's right. Oh. I've heard that.
So that's why they're saying, it's albuterol. And then the court came back and said, yeah, that's great. But albuterol is not an amphetamine, so it wouldn't show up as meth.
Dude.
And they went, this is the quote from Brittany's lawyer. Hamana, hamana, hamana.
Well, meth does explain her looks. That certainly
not
would
her
be
weight.
A contributing factor. No,
no,
not her
right.
weight, that's true. But her face, definitely, it looks methy.
It does. Methy?
She's very methy.
Methy face.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens in court today, but I'm expecting that the judge will have a good time with this one.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Lindsay Lohan began her court-ordered community service. She was spotted at the Red Cross Blood Facility in Pomona, California, where she spent 7 hours. She's got 10 days of community service to work off as part of her DUI conviction, and apparently she'll be doing it at the Red Cross. Imagine going to give blood and Lindsay Lohan's there.
That'd be weird.
Giving you some juice and a cookie.
She like the juice?
Tourniquet around your arm?
Yeah, sure.
Apparently, the Red Cross said they needed 2 hours to explain to her that the red stuff is not for Bloody Marys. She was confused.
She didn't understand
because
that?
Because she likes to drink. Paris Hilton may have taken on a new cause. I mentioned it earlier. She wants to stop the drunken Indian elephants.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently, there were even more reports of 40 pachyderms being electrocuted during a drunken binge fueled by barrels of beer they found in northeastern India.
It happened again.
Maybe she's right and we're wrong, and it is an epidemic
apparently
that needs to be addressed.
Paris is up in arms. She wants the elephants to stop the drinking. Two of the elephants, by the way, have some community service to do at the Red Cross in Pomona, California. So.
This is a mess.
It's one of the elephants right there.
Yeah, 40 pachyderms were electrocuted during a drunken binge.
Dude, that's rough.
That's bad news.
That's elephant burgers for everyone in that town, by the way.
Oh, that's good eating right there.
It's bizarre.
Make yourself some elephant loaf. I'm looking forward to this book, Andrew Morton. You familiar with him? He's a legendary, scandalous biographer. He did the big Princess Diana book and has done a few others.
You don't want him to do a book about you, right?
No, you do not, sir.
If you have anything to hide, he will find it.
His upcoming biography about Tom Cruise has a lot of Scientologists in an uproar, as you can imagine. Here's the thing about the Scientologists. They have no problem with you criticizing their religion.
Oh, no, they're good with that. Yeah.
They are very secure. They are very self-centered, and water off a duck's back is what happens when you make fun of the Scientologists.
They just could care less. They invite it, actually.
Or they threaten your life.
That's right.
Apparently, Andrew Morton has had to sell his London home after receiving numerous death threats from members of Scientology.
Dude.
And he said, he announced yesterday, he plans to disappear for a while.
So criticize the royal family, you're fine. Criticize Scientologists, you're dead.
It's funny, Morton mentions that. He says, finding information out about the royal family was much easier than doing research on the life of Tom Cruise.
Wow.
So he's a total gaylord.
How dare you?
Allegedly. Says Kevin.
He's as heterosexual as any person on this planet.
Yeah, he was scared enough to have to sell his house and move.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to that book, though, I'll tell you.
Yeah, should be pretty interesting stuff.
You know what's interesting to me, Ralph, and I want your theory on this, is his first wife, Mimi Rogers,
yes,
has not, in my mind, has not spoken out much on her years with Tom Cruise, has she?
I believe she's a Scientologist.
Oh.
So she would be protecting.
Plus she doesn't want to sell her house because of
death threats. Because, you know, the market's slow right now. She's waiting for it to pick up again.
Anyone else, we would have heard lots of freaky things that went on, but that would totally make sense if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that she herself is a Scientologist.
Because they were married a long time.
There you go. Apparently, John Stamos had a less than pleasurable experience while flying on Monday. Apparently, he was just kicking it in first class, you know, because that's how Stamo rolls.
Sure, right.
And a woman came by to chat with him, and he was trying to take a nap. So he said, look, I'm just trying to take a nap here, if you don't mind. She apparently didn't appreciate the snub, became very loud, started screaming on the airplane, and the airline staff had to try and calm her down. Now, here's the standard now when you fly the friendly skies. The FBI was called in to take a statement from everyone regarding the disturbance on the flight, but no charges were filed against her. But she caused enough of a stink that they had to call the FBI in.
As an ER doctor, though, he was able to assist her medically. When she got upset, right?
Just on a TV show, B. Just a TV show.
I want to talk to Uncle Jesse! I will talk to him!
How badly do you want to talk to John Stamos, for God's sakes?
You got one question for John Stamos. What's Rebecca Romijn like?
Yeah.
Then boom, you're out. What's with the hair?
Wow. That's bizarre.
He bugs me, by the way.
Does he?
Not in a bad way. It's just that how can a guy look that good for that long at that age? He's one of those
freakish
guys who looked great when he was like in his 20s on Full House. And you figure, well, you know, time's going to catch up with him. That'll teach him a lesson that, you know, looks aren't all that important. Looks better now than he did when he was 25.
Yeah. Deal with the devil.
Freaking.
What do you say?
Nothing. And Julia Roberts, speaking of good looks, says that don't hate her because she's beautiful, basically.
Oh, no,
really?
No, no.
She said, look, she has nothing to do with it. Genetics play a huge part in her look, she said.
Of course. They do in everyone.
She said that she eats junk food all the time. Mm-hmm. She bounces back from pregnancy easily thanks to good genes. She's had no problem keeping her weight down after the kids.
Well, she certainly is doing everything possible to make me not hate her.
Yeah.
Going out of her way.
And
she's just like
likeable.
You, Lisa.
Yeah.
She said she thanks her mom for giving her the ability to stay slim. And she also inherited the giant vein from her dad.
So did she? Wow. That.
Yeah, her dad was a big vein forehead dude.
When's that vein going to move out on its own? It seems like it's been living with Julia for a long time.
It's going to be in a miniseries on the Sci-Fi Channel, I think, coming out. New series called Vein. Today's celebrity birthdays, Laura San Giacomo.
Yeah.
She was on that TV series Just Shoot Me. Also played Julia Roberts' best friend in Pretty Woman. You may remember her. A stunning actress with ginormous hooters.
Yeah.
She's
definitely
45 years old today. Reverend Run of Run DMC is 43 years old today, as is Patrick Warburton. Not only was he Putty on Seinfeld, but he was also the Tick and can be heard doing the voice of Joe the Cop on Family Guy. You know the cop in the wheelchair?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Wheelchair. How
Love
funny
him.
Is he?
Love. He's the best.
Yeah, he's 43 years old today. Josh Duhamel from Las Vegas, Fergie's boyfriend. He is 35 years old today. Our pal Travis Barker from Blink 182 turns 32 years old today. And you know who else has a birthday today?
Ooh.
Our radio pal Bean. Bean Baxter celebrates his birthday today.
Happy
no
birthday.
One knows how old he is. Scientists predict they will have to cut him in half and carbon date him find out exactly how old he is.
The problem with Bean, though, is he was born 70.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter.
His soul is 70. His mind is 70. He's been an old guy since he was in high school.
He's been an old woman, actually.
Old woman, yeah, that's true.
Bean, you're a f***ing asshole.
Oh,
I wish
come
you were
on
the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald, you f***ing freak.
The guy's birthday!
Thank you for the sentiment.
How are you going to come at him like that? Celebrate, we'll play a little Thanksgiving clicks later on in the show.
So won't be that's all I want.
You look forward to
not
that.
Doing that.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, it's Bean's birthday, and for his birthday, he wanted to have Richard Cheese in the studio to perform live.
Well, now, to be fair, there are a lot of bands I wanted to have that we couldn't get. Okay?
Yeah, that's
true.
Right,
and we eventually, as we went down the list, we ended up at Richard Cheese, who was 249th. But we're delighted to welcome him to the studios of K-Rock again. Good morning, Dick.
Good evening. Hit it, fellas.
It's not evening, really.
No.
It is evening. It's a lounge singer.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having us on, baby. How you doing, Kevin? How you doing, Bean?
Good, thank you.
And how you doing, Lisa?
Good.
I think we need to pump your mic up just a
More microphone
smidge.
To me and less piano, maybe?
A bit, yeah.
You sound a little bit good. Underwater there, Dick. I got to be honest.
What did you call
that's
me?
What she said. Dick?
What it do, nephew? Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Nope. No, not right now.
Next World War, a jackknife juggernaut. I am born again in a neon sign, scrolling up and down. I am born again in an interstellar burst. I'm back to save the universe. Hey, bring that drink over here, baby. La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la la Richard Cheese and Conscience Against the Machine are back with a brand new album that's in stores and online now called Dick at Night. This
Thank
is your
you.
Seventh record together, Dick.
Honey, bring that shaker over here. I'm sorry, I'm talking to my bartender.
Apparently, he's got a staff in there that he's trying to work with.
Kevin over there.
By the way,
Kevin Bean Show.
Lisa Bain's autobiography is also called Dick at Night.
Interesting, isn't it?
That's
hey,
right.
Dick,
thank
you
so
used to, on your website, and I know you're at richardcheese.com, but you used to sell a large array of I Love Dick items that were very popular with the ladies.
Yeah,
do you still move those?
We sell the I Love Dick tank tops and the I Love Dick t-shirts. They're fabulous. Very popular with the kids.
Is there any way we can hear Dick? If possible, for to make some sort of adjustments so we can hear him.
Now we can hear the level.
Piano, or is it just
No, now we can hear the level, but it sounds like there's absolutely no highs. You can't really hear.
Can you hear me? Is this any better?
You're underwater is the problem. Yeah.
Well, speaking of underwater, hit that song for me. You know what I'm talking
about,
Hey,
they just brought me a drink.
Oh, yeah. She brought you a cocktail. Nice. That's the Cheez-a-tini. Lisa, you want one too, right?
Absolutely.
Actually, you want three, right?
It's a girl I honk at.
Well, you mentioned underwater. Hopefully, I sound better now. Is it working any better over there?
I mean, if you enjoy your music through a pillow, yeah.
Well, you know, lightning is here, so therefore, that's why the sound sounds so good. He says, wave. I tell you, I've never been on K-Rock where this hasn't happened.
Yeah,
I love you kids.
Yes.
Where's Scott Mason when you need him? That's a very special song for the kids. Kevin, you've got kids, don't you?
I do, yes.
Lightning, you've got kids. Ralph's got some kids somewhere that maybe he knows about.
Black.
It's a special song from our new Dick at Night CD about a cat who's, he's swimming, baby. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Nice.
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he. SpongeBob SquarePants. Nautical nonsense be something you wish. SpongeBob SquarePants. And drop on the deck and flop like a fish. SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I gotta tell you, this orange juice that you brought in tastes a lot like vodka.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It's got a kick to it, does it, huh?
Lisa, what are you drinking? That looks like coffee.
It is coffee, actually.
I brought the cocktail waitress in just for you.
She didn't bring me anything.
She's gonna lick you later, too, by the way.
Oh, all right.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Dick, I have a question for you about the new CD, Dick at Night, because
yes,
I know that your act through all the albums and all the years of touring and playing in front of appreciative crowds has always been to celebrate the golden age of popular songwriting, and it seems like now the TV shows don't have the great themes like they used to. You know, you watch a show like a Lost or a Heroes or something like that. They don't have the catchy theme song that so many of the older ones used to. What is going on with that?
I know. And the TV themes that were out in the 60s and 70s and 80s, the ones we have on our new CD, those are the classics. And I really hope that, you know, the writers will get back together just to write some new TV themes and then go back on strike.
So, get back together, write TV themes, go back on strike.
Yeah, because why bother? Because seriously.
You do have a few up-to-date ones, like South Park, for example. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got the South Park theme. In fact, let's do that for the kids. This is a swinging number from my good friends Matt and Trey. I'm going down to South Park, gonna have myself a time. Friendly faces everywhere, humble folks without temptation. Heading down to South Park, gonna meet some friends of mine. Ample parking day and night, people shouting, howdy neighbor. Hey Bobby, go ahead and kill Kenny for me, won't you? And let's get Dave a cocktail, honey. Heading on up to South Park, meet some friends of mine. Heading down to South Park, meet some friends of mine. Yes, thank you.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you so much. That's on the new CD, but enough about my new CD. Let's not talk about me. Let's talk about the Kevin and Bean Show.
And how much?
Can I just say I love you guys?
No.
Can I just say I love Lisa?
Yes.
There
yes.
is
Lightning
a
and Dave and Steve and all the kids.
Of orange juice.
Just
in
a splash.
Vodka.
Maybe it's just a coloring.
She's making them strong, am I right?
Yes.
That's what I pay her for. She's great.
Straight
She's
awesome. Vodka.
She has been trained to make a cocktail for anybody within 10 feet of her.
Wow.
So you guys, through the window, we can still get that's within the limit. Hey, can I have a little more of the Kevin and Bean on my headphones, please? Thank you.
Technically, hey, this is working, going off without a hitch, and I like that.
I know.
It's good.
At least we're not on for two breaks. Oh, wait, we are? All right, well.
Hey, Richard, we do have to take a break. We have heard some of your beautiful TV themes from the new Dick at Night, but you also have done a large number of K-Rock songs throughout the years. And some of the people
I'm sorry,
have...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, we have. That's right, we have.
Have some requests of some of your favorites, and I know that you and I exchanged emails this week, and I think you have something special for my birthday that you're going to do.
Oh, that's right. It is your birthday. I can't wait to do that song. It rhymes with Gedman Gets Gerald. That's all I can tell you.
Don't give it away.
No, come on.
Can't wait for that
Hey,
one.
Sorry you got to go.
Yeah,
don't give it away.
I'd rather not be on the air than have to play that.
I hear that. Worst song ever, right?
Hey, if you've got 6 minutes and 28 seconds, we're ready to do it.
We don't.
The Lounge is going to be appearing in Studio City at the Aura Nightclub and Lounge on Friday night, December the 7th. You can get the details at richardcheese.com for the show. And, of course, you got a couple of dates at the end of the year in Las Vegas. You're playing New Year's Eve in Las Vegas at the Hard Rock Hotel on the 29th
and
the 31st.
That's right. We've been playing Hard Rock every couple weeks now. I love that place.
It's impressive.
Fantastic. All right, we'll take a break. Dick Cheese is here.
Right now, how about Richard Cheese in Lounge Against the Machine here in the studio?
I got my reverb out of the car.
Hey, it wasn't that. Sounds good.
We can hear you.
So much better.
Oh, thank you so much. Show's over. Good night. Thank you.
No, Dick, what's it like out on the road as you crisscross? This is a great country road. You've got 7 albums behind you now. You've been on the road for years. You get a big turnout. A lot of people come see the show.
We actually have been doing really well the last couple of months. We sold out in Chicago. We sold out the House of Blues in Chicago and New Orleans, like 1,300 people in those cities.
Wow.
We played a bunch of sellout shows at the Derby this past summer, which is fabulous. And we're touring all over because our record label dropped us and there's no money. So we are really all about making the dough. So please hire us for your Christmas party. And
are you as shocked as we are that people continue to pay money to come see your act?
I am shocked that you guys had me on the air today.
Yeah, I know.
Frankly.
Me too.
I got to thank you so much for having us on. And, you know, you mentioned Feist is opening up for Acoustic Christmas.
Yes.
I am so happy because, as you said, my career is going so well.
We didn't say that. Feist is coming in the studio.
Oh, Feist is coming in the studio. Well,
to perform live.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. I was reading the website. But, you know, I'm so grateful for all the success we've had. We are going to be on the Conan show tonight.
Wow.
We're on the Jay Leno show tomorrow. And the Jimmy Kimmel show Wednesday. All brand new shows.
It's a great booking.
Bad news, Dick.
What's that?
There's a writer's strike. They're actually all in reruns. Those shows.
Oh well, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, at least I have. We are going to be on Acoustic Christmas night number one. We are the headliner on that night.
No. You're not.
I'm sorry. That's Linkin
Park.
Well,
I am pleased to announce that I have just taken a position teaching at Oprah's school in South Africa.
Well, there are some
openings. As I said, the Richard Cheese Band taking off, going places.
What's your
favorite?
Speaking
of going places, let's do that song by Feist. Give me a B.
Oh, here we go.
Now
one,
we need a little.
I'm sorry.
Hold on.
I cannot remember the lyrics.
You don't know. Okay. Now we need a little more piano, if you don't.
Oh,
mind.
We need some more piano.
Yeah, now you're
Bobby?
Coming through well. Okay.
Bobby Ricotta on the piano, by the way. You got enough piano in there? Oh, that's great.
Hey Dick,
I'd
like to make a request, if that's all right.
Yeah, anything you want, baby.
I think my favorite song that you do is the Nirvana song. Rape
well, there's
me.
So many, but we can do the one you want.
Rape
I know which one you're talking
that's
about.
That's
the one on the list, there, Bobby.
Yeah.
You know which one it is? One we practiced 5 minutes ago. rhymes with bape me. Hit it, fellas. Here's one for the ladies. Rape me. Come on, rape me, my friend. Everybody rape me. Rape me again. I'm not the only one. No, I'm not the only one. My favorite inside sores. I'll kiss your open sores.
Yeah.
Take me home. Rape me.
That's what she
Everybody
said.
Everybody clap. Rape me again.
Sorry.
R. Kevin's white. A. P. Me, rape me. Thank you so much. And, you know, we had another song prepared. We want to do a little System of a Down because our good friend Serge is playing night number one of Acoustic.
Fantastic.
Hit that beginning of this song. You know which one I'm talking about? Wake up! Grab a brush and put on a little makeup. Hide the scars and fade away the shake-up. Kevin, question. Why did you leave the keys up on the table?
Wanted to.
That is correct. I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide. I cry when angels deserve to die. Now, you know, normally I'd sing this song and just sing it swinging, but because it's the Kevin Amin Show, because it's such a talented broadcasting team.
Sure.
I'm going to try and be like Ralph and do some voices for you. This is my impression
of this song being sung by George Takei.
I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide. I cry when angels deserve to die.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, my impression of this song being sung by the late, great Michael McDonald. I'm sorry, he's not
dead?
He's not dead.
I don't think so.
All right, get ready. Michael McDonald singing System of a Down. I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide. Okay, now the big finale. My impression of this wonderful System of a Down song, Chop Suey, being performed by Bjork.
Ooh,
bring it down for me, fellas.
I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide. And there were angels and butterflies.
Okay, that's enough of that.
That's
I don't think you trust
in my self-righteous suicide. I cry when angels deserve to
die, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Yay!
Well done.
Nicely.
Very nice.
Thank you so
Richard
much.
Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine again playing the Aura Nightclub and Lounge in Studio City Friday, December 7th. Dick at Night is
Who
the new album
drink?
Available online and in stores now. We haven't even finished the ones your girl just brought
well,
in.
Seriously, I figured Kevin would have down that one by now.
We only have time for one more, and I think, you know, as the birthday boy, I did get a request. Dick, can you do a little bit of
that
song for me, please?
Give me that A.
But do it as Bob Hope.
Do it as Bob Hope?
Yeah.
Who does the voice of Bob Hope on that show? He's talented.
He is good.
Yeah.
Ralph.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa down to the big lake they call Gitche-Aguni.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Yes. Whoa, that's all I got.
How about that?
We'd like to leave you, though, with one last tune from our new Dick at Night CD. Let's dedicate this one to my roommates.
Okay.
And thank you again, Kevin and Mean, for having us on the big show.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lisa, baby. Come knock on our door. We've been waiting for you. Where the kisses are, Kevin's and Beans and his three's company too. Come and dance on our floor. Take a step that is new. We've a lovable space that needs your face. Three's company too. You'll see that life is among you.
Don't
I'm a little
there.
Drunk, sorry. Down at our rendezvous, Tres Company. Good luck, Writers Strike people. Thank you. Thank
Dick
you
at Night is the name of the album, available for download, iTunes, or in stores now.
Go to RichardCheese.com
is the
Thank
site.
Thank you, Bean.
Yes.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Dick.
Thank you, Lisa.
Our assistant producer, Super Whore, Alex, has just joined us in the studio. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
And Alex has a quote-unquote boyfriend already, although she doesn't call him that. And she just nailed Richard Cheese during that Linkin Park song.
That's true.
And
it's
she's
true.
Already got her eye on somebody else at a store that she shops at. She's a goer. God bless Alex.
This is one of the services that we provide for our family here at K-Rock. If somebody needs a little help, we step in and we say, how can we help? She's in love with a dude at Trader Joe's. And she actually goes out of her way to, like, instead of going to the bank to get cash, she'll go to him for whatever. She figures out reasons to go to Trader Joe's because this dude is so hot and she wants to talk to him.
First of all, Trader Joe's rocks.
Yes.
It does rock. I agree with you there.
Because everything's good and cheap. But I was just checking out one day, minding my own business, and I look up and there's this beautiful dark brunette guy. He kind of has, like, a buzz cut. He's big. You know, I like my big guys.
Sure.
And he's got just his light blue eyes. So I'm just kind of staring at him and checking out, and then he starts to talk to me and, like, ask me, you know how they make the chit-chat. Hey, what are you doing tonight?
Sure.
Or whatever. And I realize, oh, my God, he's deaf. And for some reason, it was so cute.
Wait, he's deaf?
Yes.
Wait, it's cute that he's deaf?
I mean,
Does he read lips? He can talk to you?
He is a hot guy who happens to be deaf, which I think is God's way of, like, evening out.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
bunch of guys in a bar. But yeah, he has like the hearing aid sort of in his ear, and his deaf.
Oh, that is sexy.
It's sexy.
You know how I hate the handicapped, Alex. This is giving me the heebie-jeebies just hearing this conversation.
Oh, then turn it down. But his, I don't know what you want to call it, the deaf accent or whatever. Is
cute.
That,
the deaf accent is cute.
It's not that strong.
It's an accent.
It's not that strong. I don't know what you want to call it. The sound, you know.
Now, here's what I like about here's what I like about our assistant producer, Alex. That does not at all dissuade her. She's way interested in him.
Dude, he's hot.
In spite of.
Talk about sound down.
Now, what's his name?
I don't know. That's the problem.
How many times have you talked to him?
Well, like three or four. But the first time I was so distracted by his eyes, I didn't look. And then the next time he wasn't wearing it, and I keep forgetting. I swear to
you
God.
Don't, so you don't know his name.
I don't know his name. I just know that he's gorgeous. And then I texted my girlfriend when I left. I'm like, is it wrong I have a crush on the deaf guy at Trader Joe's? And she said she has a deaf guy at her Trader Joe's.
Oh,
cute.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding.
What? Well,
they, they have one position in each store for a hot deaf guy?
No.
What the hell?
But I am not alone in my love.
This is going to break Kerouac listener Nick's heart if he's listening, but could this deaf guy have you? Could he have you the way a man has a woman if he wanted to?
Oh, he could have me across the granola in aisle three.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's that serious. Well, would you like us to call him for you and maybe make the introduction? Maybe let him know how you're feeling about it.
No, we're not going to.
We actually have, Lightning got him on the phone.
What?
So I think let's go to Trader Joe's. Good morning. Hello?
Morning, Trader Joe's. Can I help you?
Oh, hey. What's his, you don't know his name?
I don't know his name.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, and we'd like to speak to the... do you have an employee that can't hear? That's deaf?
Excuse me?
Do you have an employee at your Trader Joe's that that's deaf?
Yes, we do.
Can we talk to him?
All right.
We'd like to speak.
1 second.
All right.
That was awkward.
I feel like an a-hole saying that.
Kind of are an a-hole.
So rude, Kevin.
Help if you knew his name. Then I could, say his bill there.
It's just the hot guy at the Trader Joe's in Manhattan Beach. What do you want?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, can you hear us?
not well.
Okay. It's Kevin and Bean. We're on the radio. What's your name?
Are you Kevin and Bean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. What's your name,
good.
Sir?
Leonard.
What's your name?
I'm sorry?
Leonard.
Lettuce?
What's your name?
Lennon?
Leonard.
John Lennon.
Like John Lennon.
Leonard.
Okay,
call
very good.
Me Lenny.
No, he's way hotter than a Leonard.
Call me Lenny.
Well, it's his name. What do you want from us?
Leonard. You're...
All right. Lenny, the reason we're calling is a friend of ours who works on our radio show with us comes into your Trader Joe's store.
Yeah.
Are you the one in, are you the store down in Long Beach, by the way?
The Manhattan Beach.
Manhattan Beach.
Okay. Comes into the Manhattan Beach store and thinks you're cute and hasn't had the nerve to be able to talk to you and ask you out, but she likes you very much.
Who is it?
Hi, Leonard. My name's Alex. I go to your store all the time because you're by my house, and I just think you're very handsome and you're very nice to me every time I come in.
She's the blonde that talks to you every time she comes in.
Oh, the blonde?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I know her.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, you do?
You remember me?
Yeah, I remember you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm usually buying a lot of wine and not so much food.
Yeah, I know that you would like to drink a lot.
Oh, really?
And usually like a push-up bra, too. They're right in your face. You can't avoid them.
Yeah, I know that she dressed pretty tutty.
What?
She dresses pretty tutty.
Slutty.
Pretty
tutty.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, slutty. Oh, yeah.
She always buys the condom, too.
She buys a lot of condoms?
Yeah. Trader Joe's known for their condoms.
Yeah, olive oil.
Olive oil? Wow, yeah. Okay.
And monkey chow.
And what?
Monkey chow.
Monkey chow?
Yeah, food for monkey.
She does? It's an odd choice.
I get a high snack on it before bed. What
right.
And a lot of douche.
What?
Oh, I hope I didn't hear that right, Lenny.
Yes.
Come on.
Hey, Lenny, is there some sort of policy at Trader Joe's? Are you allowed to date your your customers, I mean?
Oh, she wants to date me.
She wants to have sex with you in aisle three.
Can I go on a date with you and then get a case of, like, two-buck Chuck?
Oh, what?
She'd like to date you.
What?
Can I go on a date with you,
no,
Lenny?
No, I'm sorry, I can't hear.
He heard us. You heard everything else.
I
you know exactly.
Hear.
Is the deaf guy pretending the deafness now?
I can't hear what you're saying.
She wants to have sex with you.
No, not coming through.
Oh. Lenny, are you gay?
Not getting anything here.
Are you gay?
Nothing hitting a cochlear implant.
But you heard us fine before. You knew who we were talking about. You remembered her as a customer. You remember what she buys. Uh-huh. Then she asks you out, and all of a sudden you're deaf?
Yeah. No, I can't hear you.
Do you not think I'd be fun? I'm a fun
date. Sure you'd be fun. Everybody tell me you're fun.
Oh, all right. Do you have a wife? Or
I'm incredibly hot.
Yes.
You are. Lenny, you are a very handsome man. You kind of look, you're always a little kind of like sandy and wet, like you were just surfing.
Yeah, I like to surf a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
you can hear her fine now, though.
I'm smoking hot. I could get like hot chata chicks.
I'm sorry, what?
I could get hotter chicks.
You could get hotter chicks.
You could love those MILFs that come in, and they're cute SUVs, and they're little kids.
And they give
in.
Me a big tip for helping with the bag.
Yeah.
What's the tip?
I can't compete with that.
What?
What's the tip?
I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Really? That's convenient, isn't it?
Funny how that goes in and out.
It is so handy. Being deaf.
I bet it is.
I recommend it to everyone.
Lenny, if you don't mind, I have kind of a theme song for you lovers. Would you mind if I played that? Just a song that kind of represents the relationship between you and our assistant producer, Alex.
God, I hope the deafness kick in again.
No, this, I think you'll be able to hear this. Here you go.
All right.
I'm in love with the deaf guy.
I'm so sexy, but I can't hear you.
I'm in love with the deaf guy.
I still can't hear you.
I'm in love with the deaf guy.
I can't hear you.
Okay, there you go. Is that beautiful?
I'm deaf. I'm not retarded.
Quisha on the way.
Oh, damn it.
What?
What? I'm sorry. I didn't know my mic was on. I'm sorry. I just got outbid on the eBay thing. I was trying to get for Ralph's birthday because Ralph's birthday is Saturday. I'm trying to get him a good gift here. Yeah, like 3 days in a row now. I've been so close to getting him an awesome present.
Mm-hmm. What were you bidding on this time?
What Ralph is not getting for his birthday this year for me? Is that what you're asking me?
What is Ralph not getting for his birthday this year? What is being screwed out of? We all want to know.
Here, this year, we all want to hear. It's obvious it should be here. Yeah. You're bad, Omar.
Omar, he's high a lot.
Yeah. This was, it is, for some other lucky eBayer, an official NFL Philadelphia Eagles football neon light sign.
Oh, nice.
High-quality neon sign mounted on a heavy-gauge black metal frame, ideal for wall or window hanging. Neon signs great for private game room, home bar, or just something for the garage. Oh, it's so beautiful, Ralph. I'm sorry you're not going to be receiving that for me this year.
You just made my wife the happiest woman in the world, by the way.
You could have made it a necklace for Reggie.
But wouldn't you love it? Wouldn't you have loved it? It's a beautiful item, too.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So you got outbid at the last second?
I got outbid, it went for $199, so unfortunately. I bid $28, so I got outbid a little while ago.
It was more than $28, huh?
Right.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago you got outbid.
$199. Sorry about that, Ralph. Would have been a good item.
It used to be $1.50, remember? $150 used to be the limit. Now it's dropping.
Now it's $20.
I'm on sale. My birthday's on sale now. I'm in the clearhouse rack.
5 till 7, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Week 2 of the writer's strike. It's bad. Yeah. Bad things are happening.
Well, at least they're meeting. At least they're constantly in touch with one another to decide how to solve the problem to everyone's benefit.
Not a talk.
Looks like the current writer's strike could quickly spread to some newsrooms, too, by the way.
Oh,
excellent. The New York Post reports that CBS news writers could soon be joining their entertainment colleagues on the picket lines as soon as tomorrow.
Wow.
Does that mean Doc? Does that mean no Doc?
No, Doc.
What?
Doc doesn't fall under that. Apparently, CBS offered its news writers a contract last November that was rejected by about 99% of the rank and file.
Only 99% rejected?
Yeah, that's all. So that would mean the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric, The Early Show, WCBS-TV in New York. I don't know if...
Locally
here in Los Angeles would be the same case. But
This seems odd. This is not the same for any of the same reasons as writers, right? Because there's no DVDs, there's no internet, there's no...
This is a contract. They've been working without a contract since last November.
Okay, so it's just a whole different...
It's a brand new deal.
Just happens to be coming up at the same time.
Got it.
Has this ever happened where news writers went on strike for a network?
I don't recall it.
Although, they may get better ratings for Katie Couric if they don't have writers
They over should put in Everybody Loves Raymond reruns into that slot. They'd do much better.
Speaking of the New York Post, nice job, guys.
What are you talking about?
Way to get our guests in trouble.
What are you talking about?
Here's the story from the New York Post regarding the Writers Guild of America strike. The headline is, Porn for Pickets. Jeff Garlin. Let me read you the article. Jeff Garlin is helping out. striking Writers Guild members in his own bizarre way. The Curb Your Enthusiasm star showed up to support a 3,000-strong rally in L.A. last week, telling the picketers he had a gift for them to use. Now they had a lot of free time on their hands, reports Post correspondent David Finnegan. He then produced a big box and proceeded to hand out porn videos, including one lesbian-themed DVD with an unprintable title.
Yes.
Classy guy, says the New York Post.
Oh, how dare
he
they.
He was a classy guy. That was a very nice offer from him.
Ralph, to get your people in trouble.
Ralph's blaming us because he was on our show, and we brought in the giant box of porn, and he said that'd be funny to take it to the strikers, and so he took it. And that's how
he was leaving from the interview to go down there to the picket.
Right.
Sure.
And then out porn.
Yeah.
That's
now the New York
story.
Post thinks it's his idea, and he's some sort of pervert.
Not
sorry,
at all.
Instead of blaming you the way it should be done.
By the way, this might be a good time to mention to our friends over at Wicked that we're now out. The box of porn is gone. We got nothing here at K-Rock, which is a little sad.
When you don't have the box of porn. I mean,
I know.
It's
hardly
on.
Worth coming to work anymore.
Yeah. Last night on Dancing with the Stars, Cameron Matheson got the boot.
No! Yeah. Cameron has been working so hard
with the fake
leg.
He or she is so good.
And
he was the one who had his wife pull out all his nose hairs, remember? So he'd look good on camera.
That's why they voted him off.
That's a soap star dude or whatever?
He's been giving and giving and giving, and now he's gone.
Yeah, don't care.
That just leaves four. Marie Osmond, of course. Elio Castroneves.
Yeah.
Melanie Brown, Spice Girl. And Jenny Garth from 90210. Those are your final four. You want to lay some money down? Like a wager?
Don't care.
Okay.
Not that much.
Speaking of showbiz stories that I'm going to do next.
All right.
That may be the smoothest ever.
I just changed my mind. I was going to read one story and I said, no, I'm going to do this one instead. But I'd already started the speaking of segue.
You pulled it out.
Thanks.
Off.
Congratulations to David Beckham.
Wherever you pull it.
You didn't.
Where do you pull it?
Speaking of pulling it, update from assistant producer Alex. Club Jenna came through, got a box of porn the next day. So apparently we do have porn in the office.
Thank you, Jenna. You're a good girl.
So we're all set.
David Beckham's got a new deal. He is going to be the new face of Armani underwear. Well, I guess not really the face, but some other part of his body. Apparently, you'll see him modeling skivvy soon for Armani on Armani.com. You know where you won't see him? PlayinFandSoccer.com.
Yeah, what's
he's not
up
on
with that,
that website.
Apparently.
Is there a website called PlayinFandSoccer.com?
Yeah, there it is. It's just a big picture of David Beckham not doing anything. Cheese and crackers.
A little less modeling, a little more helping the team make the playoffs, I think is what Ralph is saying.
Why don't you bend it other than in your pants, in your underwear? We know where you bend there, you know what I'm saying? Bend it on the field.
Barely.
No. And, big, big, big news. Thousands of fans of Hannah Montana have filed a class action lawsuit against the Hannah Montana fan club.
For what?
Well, they were told if they joined the Hannah Montana fan club, which, by the way, is $30 a pop. You would get priority concert tickets. You get first dibs at the Hannah Montana concert, which is the hottest concert in the country
right now,
inexplicably.
Right.
However, tickets disappeared within a few minutes of becoming available last month as ticket brokers snatched them all up.
They do only have so many for each show that they can do that way. And
they can't guarantee that you can buy tickets.
Every single ticket that was supposed to be available to the Hannah Montana fan club.
Oh, they got none?
They got none.
Is that bad?
Oh, that is bad.
That is bad.
See, here's what the scumbag ticket brokers do, is that they sign up for the Hannah Montana fan club, too.
Yeah.
They pay their $30, and then they have some sort of alchemy or some sort of wizardry that they can get to the tickets before anybody
Voodoo
else does.
Magic.
Exactly. So
that sucks.
The fans are cheesed off. You know, you're a parent, and you got some furious 14-year-old at home. What do you do?
Sue, yeah.
So
yeah,
Hannah Montana fans suing the Hannah Montana fan club.
Sounds like they ought to be suing whoever sells the tickets.
You would think that. But alas and alack.
She could play every night for the next 2 years, by the way, in this country, and would not satisfy the demand for tickets for this tour
right now.
There's only one way she can satisfy me.
Don't want to know about that.
You know what I'm saying?
Underage.
Stop performing.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Oh, okay. That's what
you did there?
Good.
Set you up with the pedophilia, then boom! Knock you down with the rudeness.
Welcome
my
to
1-2.
Nightmare.
That's my 1-2 right there. Hey, I saw Beowulf last night.
Yes!
Ooh. Beowulf?
Oh, look at the time. 7:01.
Oh, bastard.
Oh, out of time.
Was
we'll
it good?
Talk about that later. We'll have to talk about it later. We'll be talking about that in the movie beat this Friday.
How's Angelina?
She's animated.
Good or bad?
It's, we'll talk about it on Friday.
Okay. Boop.
boobs.
She's golden and naked. That's that means anything.
Boobs.
Today's celebrity birthday is Laura Sangiacomo. She is, of course, from Just Shoot Me.
Boobs.
And Pretty Woman and Boobs is right. She's 45 years old today. Run, the Reverend Run from Run DMC. Is 43 years old today.
Boobs.
Patrick Warburton, who played...
I don't think so.
Putty on Seinfeld is also on Family Guy. He's 43 years old today. Josh Duhamel from Las Vegas is 35. Travis Barker from Blink 182 is 32. And our very own Bean Baxter celebrates his birthday today. Bean, what are your birthday plans? Anything anything happening going up there on the island? What
sure.
are you going to do?
He celebrates like nobody's business.
I had a... I'll tell you about that later because I had a breakthrough this year.
Wow.
Breakthrough. And I'll share that with you later.
Your therapist must be thrilled.
Breakthrough.
Bean, 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 bean.
No need to mock, sir.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of writers, our next guest, Howard Gordon, is a writer and an executive producer for the television show that we all love on the Fox network called 24, a show that we were hoping was going to be coming back, I don't know, early in January, and we'd get a chance to see it again. That sounds like it may be in jeopardy, so we said, let's find out what's going on with that. And with the strike, Howard Gordon joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, when you won the Emmy, did you win that as a writer or as a producer?
Won it as a producer.
Well, congratulations.
For best show.
I so remember, and I know this is a little bit off topic, I so remember after the first year of 24, which just, let's take ourselves back to that time, just blew everybody away with the unique concept of how the story was told. And everybody said, well, after the first one, they can't do that again.
Right.
I mean, clearly they've already burned out the 24-hour clock idea. And here it is. It just, this last season was maybe the best season yet. It's really to your credit.
Well, thank you so much.
Now, talking about the writer's strike, we're not inside the industry, and we don't know all of the details. But it's hard to take the side of anyone but the writers. It seems I've never seen something that's this big that's come along that seems 100% one-sided.
Mm. Well, I appreciate your saying that. You know, I think writers are a kind of invisible, necessary parts that people don't really understand. I mean. I wish there was a little bit more sympathy, I think, for the writers. I think people are going to hopefully will not start getting too pissed off that they're missing their shows and blame it on us. I mean, the fact of the matter is we really want to talk to the companies that are behind this, and we want a fair deal. And I hope we get one. I hope we get one soon.
Now, one of the biggest glaring examples is the Office talking about those webisodes that the writers wrote. And they wrote that specifically for the internet. This is one of the big beefs: is that they're not getting any money for online stuff because
right. They're all calling it the companies are calling it promotional, and they've been calling it promotional for the past couple of years. And when the downloads start, these promotional downloads start generating millions of impressions, and they're selling advertising on them, the argument becomes a little less convincing.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. Certainly. They also the writers of the webisodes got an Emmy for that. And,
right, right. A Webby, I think.
A Webby.
I don't,
a Webby,
I don't
right.
know what it's called.
Howard, you're in the Writers Guild?
I am, yeah, 25-year member.
Wow. Are you on strike right now?
I am on strike. I've been walking every day in front of Fox and Universal.
And how frustrating is it to you and the other people that you're walking with that there aren't even any talks scheduled right now?
Well, that's really the part that's mystifying and frustrating for everybody, is that there's a lot of secrets, a lot of rumors, and a lot of it is kept that way, I suppose, for negotiation purposes. But it's the uncertainty of the thing that I think drives everybody crazy. And you know, having been on the show now for 7 years, this is my seventh year on 24, I feel like, you know, a lot of responsibility. There are a lot of people who are the, you know, collateral damage of this strike. And that's the part that really is the heartbreaking part and the reason I want this thing over with sooner than later.
Tell us about the collateral damage. Tell us about the
there are people, you know, from makeup people to caterers to, you know, everybody on below the line, the cast, the crew particularly. And these are people who I'm, you know, very close to who are going to be out of work very shortly. We stopped shooting in December. And we'll have only completed 8 episodes. And then it's right in the middle of the season. It's right before the holidays. And it's unclear when they'll be working next. And that's a really, really scary feeling for a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of those people don't have deep pockets enough to weather that.
Absolutely. No, and the writer, you know, and obviously the writers, some people feel the writers who, you know, million-dollar writers, you know, are picketing, you know, getting their lattes from, you know, and delivered by messenger. And the fact of the matter is, you know, the median salary of a writer is, you know, somewhere between $80,000 and $90,000. So it's a much more middle class than most people imagine.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys don't get paid when you don't work, but the people on the other side of the desk, the studio executives, they are still getting paid. They're not the ones who are in danger of losing their homes, right?
As far as I I know, not right now, but if this thing goes on too much, I mean, I do feel like we're in a bit of a murder-suicide pact, because obviously if there's no business,
right,
they're not going to be keeping all the executives on salary either. So,
Howard, go ahead, Dean.
Howard Gordon is our guest, by the way, on the line. He's an executive producer of 24, and that's what I wanted to ask you, because since you do have some producing credits and you do have some dealings with that side of the table, I mean, what about one-on-one conversations you've had with people on the other side? Are they able to say anything to you that either gives you hope or makes you understand more their side of the story, or is it such a chasm that you guys aren't even speaking the same language?
You know what? There's remarkable sympathy from the other side, and I really have to believe in my gut that there's a deal to be made. I think that the argument is a fair one. I think they know that. I think there were the beginnings of the stirrings of a conversation in which both parties actually were beginning to talk on the same page, and I believe that was interrupted by the strike. And there's a lot of he said, she said, and finger pointing about who actually fired the first shot. I hope the bad feelings get put behind these negotiators and they get back to the table soon. I think, did I forget what was your question?
If they're able to say anything to you that makes sense to you, or are you just so far apart that you don't even understand their side of the argument anymore?
I think we're less far apart than people think. I really do. I believe that there's a fair deal and to be made, and I hope it's made. I mean, the fact of the matter is, they tell Wall Street on one hand, they being the big five, you know, media moguls,
right,
that the internet is the next great boon for us. And on the other hand, they turn to us, the writers, and say, there's no money here. It's just promotional, and we take all the risk and blah, blah, blah.
Have you seen the YouTube video where they have a bunch of the studio heads talking about the millions and billions that they're making online?
I have.
That's
well,
funny.
In their defense, though, Howard, they are offering to conduct a 3-year study to see if the internet is somehow going to be used in distribution of entertainment.
Well, I really appreciate that stuff.
Hey, another question, and we're getting some of this from people who call, people who email, that don't fully understand what's going on, but they seem to be really angry about writers who make, you know, probably more money than they do, trying to get, for the DVDs, for example, we heard a bunch of people saying, yeah, nobody gets a 100% raise. No one gets that. And it seems to be bad will toward the writers for that.
It is. And obviously, being one of those writers, I'm particularly sensitive to it. The fact of the matter is, you have to look at it this way. If I make a show that's like 24 that sells 3 or 4, you know, however many millions of copies per season, that it's probably sold in large part because I have, I've been, a pretty instrumental part in,
right,
making that a compelling show that people want to buy.
Right.
And so the pittance, when you think about that, just understand that 4 cents is per DVD. Every writer who's written an episode gets 1/24th of that 4 cents. So it's a lot smaller than people imagine. And again, you have to believe in the fairness this is not widgets we're making. This is creative property that we're inventing, that we spend, sleepless nights trying to figure out to entertain people. And we mm-hmm. feel that we're entitled to a piece of that. If it's successful, obviously, if you write a show that's crappy and no one wants to watch it, then, two DVDs will be sold. And whether you get 4 cents or the whole thing, it won't matter.
Right.
So it's tied to the success of the shows that we create.
Hmm.
Howard, eventually this thing is going to end, and this is what's frustrating about it. We know that eventually writers are going to be working and people are going to be making TV shows again. If you had to put a guess on it, and no one will hold you to this, but are we looking at 2 months, 6 months, a year? What do you think?
Well, it's a great question, and God knows everyone says it's going to be settled tomorrow or a year from now. My own feeling is that it kind of has to be done by hopefully it'll be done by the new year. I'm hoping it gets settled so that people can get back to work. I believe there has to be an upfront this year. Nobody's been talking about that. The upfront is when new shows are rolled out and presented to advertisers,
right,
and the bulk of the network's money comes from that upfront sale. So without it, I don't know how they do business for the 10 year.
Right.
So I hope it's done sooner than later. I hope people I believe there's a deal to be had, and I hope the negotiators sit down and get down to business.
Well, that's the key, is to get them talking to each other. And I'm glad you came on to talk about it from your perspective, Howard. And for our listeners who wonder why we address this topic every single day on our show, it's because literally hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue are being lost as a result of this strike. I mean, in this town, this is a big business here.
Yeah.
It's beyond the fact that as fans, we want to watch TV.
It's that, and it's that I don't get my Jimmy Kimmel and I don't get my 24.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Howard Gordon, executive producer and writer for the TV show 24. Good luck to you, man. Thank you so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Your tickets for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 as well.
Okay.
First, though, hit it, Steve.
Every time time, around this time of year, K-Rock listeners gather around and drink beer. Two nights of shows with all their favorite bands. No police will be called if it gets out of hand. Now you already know about night one, that's true. So let's all get together and hear about night two.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. Sunday, December 9th, Gibson Amphitheater. Night two.
Beer and I must fight.
Muse. Silver Sun Pickups. Modest Mouse. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Feist.
One song, it'll change your life, I swear.
The Shins. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007, Night 2. Keep listening for on sale info and go to krock.com to sign up for the K-Rock Street Team. K-Rock.
Thanks to the bands and their labels.
So there you go. Night number two of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. It is Sunday night, December 9th, Gibson Amphitheater, and it's all different bands, and yeah. It's a completely different night.
It's pretty
different
cool.
Different vibe. Yeah. Muse, of course, is headlining. Kevin, you just had a chance to see them in Las Vegas a few weeks ago. An unbelievable live band, aren't they?
Unbelievable. Those guys are amazing.
They are great. Also, Feist, who's going to be here next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, puts on a tremendous live show. Feist is on the bill. Jimmy Eat World, as you know, they played the Acoustic Christmas shows before. They're always great. I love Modest Mouse. They were on the bill a couple years ago. So happy to have them back. The Shins this year, the Silver Sun Pickups, the band Spoon. It's a hell of a lineup. Two great nights, and it's going to be December 8th and 9th at the Gibson Amphitheater. So far, we have not given you the on-sale information, but that will be coming very, very soon. So keep checking krock.com and, of course, listening to the world-famous KRock. You know what's great about this time of year is not only do we have the Acoustic Christmas, not only do we have the Butterball Turkey Hotline, which is a week from today that we make that phone call, but it's Miss Double December time, ladies.
Yes.
I'm on the website right now. It is. It's the best time of the year. You're right, Kevin. You go to the Kevin and Bean section, and you can see the pictures of all the previous Miss Double Decembers. There's Christy and Yasmin and Veronica and Bridget and Melissa and Lauren, all such lovely ladies, and we're going to add a new face and a new set to the Miss Double December lineup. And that's coming up on November 30th. A new Miss Double December will be crowned. Do we have the theme song?
We do, as a matter of fact. The best song ever, represents the best time ever, and the best K-Rock listeners ever.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
Nice melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my f*** is hard.
How does one become Miss Double December 2008, Kevin?
You go to krock.com, you go to the Kevin and Bean page, and then there's a link, and you can send in a picture. You have to be 21 or over. Mm-hmm. We are going to name the 10 finalists in about a week. So you have just a week to send in your photo. We're also going to put up, eventually, we're going to put up video. And you're going to have a talent. You're going to be able to show your talent.
That's new this year.
Yes. We're going to have...
show your talents, too, by the way.
We're going to have K-Rock listeners vote. We're going to have a live show at the end of the month where we crown Miss Double December.
An actual beauty pageant.
Yes, that's happening this year. You get to go to both nights of Acoustic Christmas and a lot of events next year. So if you want to be Miss Double December and you fit the bill, go to krock.com and the Kevin and Bean page and click on the link and send in your photo.
Cool.
It will be a year-long party in 2018. If Kevin and Bean are broadcasting from the Playboy Mansion, you come to the Playboy Mansion. If we're going to Las Vegas, you go to Las Vegas. So it's a pretty sweet deal. There's a lot on the table. So go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean section, and apply. We'll look forward to those photos. In the meantime, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. It's an answering machine. You call us, leave us a message, we play it back.
We got a call, some kind of time warp call from, I think, the early 90s here.
What's that?
I am with that guy. I'm still trying to keep that alive.
I know you are.
I just drove past Universal Studios, and there's a friggin' midget playing a trumpet. What?
I wonder how he holds it up. Doesn't it seem like it would tip him right over forward?
It does.
That seems odd.
Hey, you know what's funny? Dean's name is Gene.
Yeah. That's his real name.
I mean, who'd listen to the Kevin and Gene show? Seriously.
Because we couldn't do much worse. So much better.
Because Bean is a lot better?
Yeah, right.
Bean's had his nickname, though, since he was a tiny kid.
Mm-hmm. I have.
We talked to Brandon Flowers yesterday about the Killers' new CD.
Yeah.
He was in Australia. It was like 1 a.m. It was after he had played. He was a little tired. He's always good to K-Rock, so I'm hesitant to bash him. There was also a delay of 2 seconds or something, and Bean and I are experts when it comes to that, so there was a lot of stopping and starting.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't our best interview.
Hey, guys. It's Brandon Flowers, and, I just won't... we thought maybe that... thank you.
Buy my new CD.
Dude, what the hell? The middle of November, and I'm sweating. This is bullshit. Al Gore.
I agree, man.
Blame Al.
Freaking Al Gore, making all the temperatures go up, driving me out of my mind.
So if it's 90, I heard Doc say it's going to be 90 today. What does that make it at your house in the Valley, Kevin?
214.
Okay.
Oddly enough.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
It's 6 more days.
Until what?
Good news for the Thanksgiving cooks outside your window, Kevin. Butterball Turkey Hotline. Call 1 week from today.
Hey, what's up, Kevin Bean? This is Marco. I demand you play the Thanksgiving spook song every day. Until Thanksgiving.
This is bad surprise, by the way, because this is Kevin speaking. I despise that Halloween spook song. It sounds like I just want to punch someone in the face when I hear it.
But this one's so much better.
By that, you mean it's not Halloween until you've heard Halloween spooks on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's what you mean, Kevin.
I was surprised by this morning, and this is not good.
Thanksgiving, oh, Thanksgiving. Turkey things are gonna happen.
Turkey things.
Gobble, gobble.
Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree.
I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window plane.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Here's the problem. Here's what Kevin doesn't understand, Lisa, and make sure he knows this.
Okay.
A week from today, we call the Butterball Turkey Hotline, and I pretend to be a farmer trying to catch a turkey played by Ralph. That's the comedy that we do every year.
Hilarious.
Thanksgiving cooks outside my window.
Okay, good.
Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree.
God, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Or not. Silver Sun Pickups, Spoon, and the band that we're going to have in just after the top of the hour, the singer Feist.
Oh.
Love
did
her.
I see you making time with lovely Leslie Feist in the other room there, Ralph?
I did. I was doing. I was spinning around and clapping like one of her background dancers in the video, trying to impress her.
Maybe she'll take you out on the road on this tour or something. Good luck with that.
Yeah, so if you we'll play talk. Your cards right, you could marry her like K-Fed did.
That's
he was
right.
a dancer.
That's
yeah.
right.
See? There you go. We will talk to Feist and hear live music from Feist in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Next hour, also, LaQuisha joins us with a review of last night's Tila Tequila, My Shot at Love on MTV. We always look forward to that. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 7:55.
That's why I don't worry about the writer's strike, fellas.
Why?
Because we've got shows like Shot at Love with Tila Tequila.
Yeah.
Who needs writers when you've got...
Dumb.
True love. True love being found right there on the set of an MTV show.
Sure.
It is week two of the Writers Guild of America strike, and as we get deeper and deeper into it, I want to thank all the K-Rock listeners who are thinking of me and sending in the chants they're overhearing as they drive by the picketers. This one comes from James from North Hollywood. Thought you'd like to know what I heard outside CBS Television City as I drove by. I swear to you, the picketers were singing... All we are saying is give fees a chance.
It's getting better. They're stepping
to get
it
the
up.
Fees. See? See what they're stepping doing it up. There? So thank you, James, for sending that in. I appreciate it.
I like it.
Meanwhile, you guys are doing your part, I guess, for the picketers. This story out of the New York Post. The headline is Porn for Pickets. Jeff Garland is helping out with the striking Writers Guild members in his own bizarre way. The Curb Your Enthusiasm star showed up to support a 3,000-strong rally in L.A. last week, telling the picketers he had a gift for them to use now that they had a lot of free time on their hands, reports New York Post correspondent David Finnegan. Garland then produced a big box and proceeded to hand out porn DVDs, including one lesbian-themed DVD with an unprintable title.
That is awesome!
Classy guy!
Sorry.
The story adds.
Don't hey, they understand.
They're blaming Jeff Garland for your... horribleness.
That is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, don't come down.
Than a bagel.
Don't come down on somebody trying to help them.
Yeah.
And Bean mentioned that he took the entire box of porn that we have that were depleted in porn, but I want to thank Vince Voyer over at Voyer Media, who sent us some titles today. We got The Whole Enchilada 2. Whole Enchilada 2 is all Latinas.
That's very nice.
Si habla Espanol, it says there right on the cover. So
is that, okay. Is that H-O or W-H-O?
What?
Oh.
The Whole. It's a W-H-O.
Oh, all right. Okay,
Whole Enchilada.
It's porn. But that's interesting.
It's Evie De La Tosa stars in this, along with Rosario Stone and Carmelo Santiago. So you can check that out from Vince Voyer. Also, In Through the Back Door, number 4. Vince Voyer sent us from director Vince Voyer.
One was the best. 2 and 3, not quite so good.
Starring
I'm looking forward to 4.
Jenny Hendricks and Audra Elson and Maria Bellucci.
Okay.
Not Monica. Maria.
No, it must be Monica's sister.
Okay.
And by the way, I don't know if you can tell or not, but you can actually see what she had for dinner last night on this photo in the
back
there.
I don't want to see that.
I mean,
right
that's a proctologist's dream right there. You
put
know what I'm
down.
Saying?
Put it down.
And lastly, of course, Taste It, Don't Waste It, number 3. Vince Voyer starring Kylie Reese. Thank you so much, Vince, for helping us rebuild our stockpile of porn. I appreciate that.
Well, as long as the strike doesn't go on too long, we can hang on to this, I guess.
All right. We don't have to ship any more out to the troops. That'd be bad news. Speaking of bad news, CBS News says that their writers could be joining their entertainment colleagues on the picket lines as soon as tomorrow. Apparently, the members of the Writers Guild of America East are expected to vote unanimously to authorize a strike on both national and local levels after working without a contract since April 2005, by the way, is the last time the news writers had a contract.
Wow.
With CBS. So, could be no more Katie Couric, no more early show.
Yeah, and what about, you know, KNX and KFWB in this town, though? I mean, who's going to be doing Traffics on the Fours or whatever they got going on over there?
Doc?
I don't know. I mean, I know that they're
after. I don't know. It's like being there for a minute.
It might be.
I don't know. Why is the dollar so low?
I was rather being like.
I was very thinking of you. As I was speaking.
I don't know. I don't know about the KNX. And the word. Well, sorry, go ahead, B.
I was just wondering. I wanted to hear what Lisa's thought was.
Oh,
she said she didn't know, but...
I was trying to figure out what union they would be in. They're part of AFTRA. Is this an AFTRA contract?
No, the writers, the news writers over at KNX apparently are a... So it's a union shop
right
over there for the writers.
Yeah, so if it's not the traffic, then they can still do it on the fours and eights or whatever.
Yeah, the traffic.
Oh, you're talking about traffic.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah.
It's Bean's question.
traffic don't have a union, do they? You guys?
Yeah.
You work for like apples, don't you? They give you like a bushel of apples every once a week and some candy corn or something?
Part of AFTRA.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Open wide for Chunky.
Ooh, I may have to walk out in support.
I like it.
In other
me
words,
too.
Take some time off.
I thought about that.
Me too.
Hey, yeah, me too. We're right there with you.
We're in support of you.
Me too.
Absolutely. Right, tell us when we get to leave.
Gonna go.
And Christina Applegate is worried about getting old, according to Star Magazine.
She's still
looks,
beautiful.
Yeah, she still looks great.
Yes, or does she?
She does.
She does.
Oh, I'm sorry. But apparently she makes sure that happens by being a bit of a diva on the Samantha Who set of her new TV show, making sure the camera angles and lighting are just right as to not to show any wrinkles that she has at the ripe old age of 36.
Is high def her worst nightmare? Is that what's going
on
here?
It is for a lot of them. It is for a lot of them. That's
she
for sure.
has gotten really thin.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily good for the face.
Well, it's all the drugs.
No, it's not at all. There's no drugs at all.
There isn't?
Drugs.
No.
No.
Well, that's not much of a story.
No. No, it's not.
You just want to make it up then?
Yeah. All right. Not very interesting. Oh, she's not on drugs. Stay tuned. Who's going to tune in for that?
But
fellas?
She's not. Doesn't that matter?
Think of the ratings.
Oh, okay. All right.
What about the facts?
Whatever with the facts.
Like we've ever cared about that.
Andrew Morton is a popular celebrity biographer. He wrote a scandalous book about Princess Diana that's still the source of much controversy. Well, he's got a new one coming out about Tom Cruise. And apparently this book has a lot of Scientologists in an uproar. So much so that the author has had to sell his London home after receiving numerous death threats from members of the Church of Scientology, and he said he plans to disappear for a while. That's funny. That's what the Scientologists have in mind for you, Andrew.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's so good. It works out for everybody. Although he may not want to spend the rest of his life in a tanker in Long Beach.
Yeah.
But disappearing, I think, is the key.
I know there are a lot of good people who are in the Church of Scientology.
I thought you meant just in general.
No. But that seems like a tell right there that, you know, you got to go hide when you write a book about them? Come on.
Right.
Yeah. If you were to make fun of the Catholics, you might get some heat, but I doubt you'd have to sell your house.
Not much, yeah.
Yeah. The Muslims. Don't get me started on the Muslims. But the Catholics would probably let you alone.
If you have magic underwear questions, Ask a Mormon is happening Friday morning right here on the Kevin Devine Show while we're talking about wacky religions.
Wow. I got to start making Jell-O shots now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they love their Jell-O.
They do.
That apparently was a requirement of this guest coming in.
He needs a vat of Jell-O in order to show up. It says a rider on his contract.
He just sits
literally
in
a tub of Jell-O. Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. You know Travis Barker.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Blink-182 drummer. 32 years old today. Josh Duhamel from Las Vegas. Danny McCoy. Have you watched since James Caan is gone and Tom Selleck has taken over?
No.
Still a good show.
Mustache.
Real good. Mm-hmm. He's got the rocking mustache.
Yeah.
He's the 35 years old, Josh. He is Patrick Warburton, who came to fame as Putty on Seinfeld, of course, then went on to be The Tick, and now is one of the hilarious voices over there on Family Guy. He's 43 years old today.
He's a star of one of my favorite movies of all time, by the way. I know I bring it up from time to time, called The Dish. Just a fantastic movie, and he stars in it. He's just so great in it.
Is it about satellite television?
Yeah.
No.
Close. It's about the satellite in New Zealand that assisted in man landing on the moon. It was called into action. The satellite in a little sheep field about that they used
like
to help
this
man.
Movie.
Wow, does that sound
it's
horrible?
So great. It's so great.
I saw this movie as well. It's good, and yes. It's better than you would expect from that description.
Yeah.
It's not as good as Bean Saying.
But Bean likes
love
it.
Love that
yeah,
movie.
I know.
I can't trust that.
The more he likes it, the less we want to go. I know.
Speaking of movies, we'll talk about it on Friday, but I saw Beowulf last night.
Yes.
Beowulf.
I saw Beowulf.
Did you say Beowulf? Were there a lot of wolves in it? And saw it on the IMAX screen in 3D.
Oh,
wow.
Cool.
Dude.
That's the way you want to see her.
Freaking real. We'll talk about it on Friday. Reverend Run of Run DMC is 43. Is he the one with that comedy over on MTV? Run in the House? Or
yes, he has a reality television show about his family.
Or
Run's House, it's called.
Run Brother
Run's
Run.
House.
What's it called?
Run's House.
It's sort of like a sitcom, but
sort
it's
of.
Not. Sort of.
It's a reality show, though,
isn't it? I don't get the sense it's a reality show. Because it plays like a sitcom. Like his kid will be in his room working on something, and Ron will come through the door and say, son, we need to talk. And it's almost like The Cosby Show. Very weird. Very odd show. Laura Sangiacomo is 45 years old today. You know her from Just Shoot Me. She's a babe. And speaking of babes, Bean Baxter.
No.
Our radio babe, Bean Baxter, celebrates his birthday today. And Bean.
Oh, Bean!
Oh, Bean. Yeah, Bean. Oh, God, Bean.
Okay, I don't need that.
I know. I sent you the Barry Manilow TV specials for your birthday. I know that was my gift
That's
to you.
That's all I wanted.
But, no, I got to add you a little something extra. I'm going to send you this copy of Taste It, Don't Waste It 3. I'm
gonna
send
that after so you can enjoy. That's very kind of you.
Happy birthday, buddy. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
And we welcome Feist to the studio. Good morning, Feist.
Hey, Feist. What's going on?
Good morning. Hey.
How are you? So if you missed the announcement, if you weren't awake with us a few minutes ago, we got your Muse on the bill that, Kevin, I know you just saw in Las Vegas. That's amazing,
so
band live. Yeah. Got your Modest Mouse. I love the mouse. They're on the bill. Jimmy Eat World is back this year. The Silver Sun Pickups. We got the Shins, who are great. And Feist, you've been on the road a little bit with Spoon. And both of you guys are also on the bill for that Sunday night, too.
That's great.
How are they live, by the way? I've never seen them.
They are a rock machine.
A rock machine.
They're incredible. I think Britt Daniel is one of the most... incredible live singers, live guitar players. It's absolutely convincing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And you've had you've been around for a while, but this year has been unbelievable for you and your band.
Yeah, but believe it.
Believe it, because it's happening.
Tell us about, we talked to so many people who, grew up in the United States and they're, plugged into the matrix of how to make it in this country. What's it like in Canada to be an up-and-coming musician? How tough is it to get going up there?
Well, mostly people just start to drive south. So,
oh, really?
To make it in Canada, you go and play New York or Chicago or, Seattle or whatever.
Is there a scene in any particular city in Canada?
I don't want to be misleading. It's amazing. It's a perfect kind of nest, where to sort of gestate, and tons of DIY scene, really tightly knit. Even though there's, five major cities, there's sort of a vague awareness of pretty much everything that's going on in all the mm-hmm. cities, because the scenes are pretty small still, relatively.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know. It's really... And after I started to tour in Europe more, I used to joke that Europe is just such a breeze, and even America, because in Canada, it's a 9-hour drive minimum, no matter what, to
anywhere.
Go and play anywhere. So after that, popping in every hour, there's a town in the States, and in Europe,
sure.
it's like every 8 minutes, there's some
city.
There's
a whole other country.
Yeah, there's a whole other country. So you build your stamina up there in the land of the snow, and then you come down. And
how are the people in Canada? Are they hardcore fans? Are they seem like they'd be pretty laid back.
Yeah, I mean, what you figure out over... doing it every night, is that no city ends up being true to its cliche. It really just ends up to be whoever's in that room that night. And sometimes a small town can feel like the arms crossed over its chest, big city, impress me style. And mm-hmm. sometimes a big city can feel like you're in some town hall village sing-along
right.
vibes or something.
What's the city you'll never go back to as long as you live?
Whether or not it's Baltimore's fault, I'm just not interested in playing Baltimore ever again.
All right.
But D.C. is right down the road, and D.C.'s always been a good time. So,
what happened in Baltimore?
Well, my guitar headstock snapped off right before a show, and I haven't.
And you're blaming Baltimore for that?
Well, it just Baltimore took the fall. It's not it's not Baltimore's fault.
Plus, Kevin, we've all seen The Wire. You don't want to hang out with those people. You know what I mean? That's just bad news in Baltimore.
<That's true. laughs>
So what have been, when you think back, and, like I said, when you came on, it's been a rush of a year. What have been the, super high points that you never expected would have happened in your career so far? Like, what are the things that stick out the most for Feist so far?
I mean, I guess it's sort of just freedom, The hustle is less every day, just the 15-year hustle. It just becomes a little bit more dreaming up something and being able to actually enact it, I have a shadow puppeteer on tour with me now, and that's something that, last year even I wouldn't have been able to surmount such a show,
I wouldn't go out if I couldn't take a shadow puppeteer with me. That would be essential.
Well, at that point now in your career that you can...
we need a shadow puppeteer on this show.
But
yeah.
I mean, that's an awesome highlight. But I mean, something like playing Saturday Night Live that
okay.
you did
couple
weeks ago. Is that the type of thing that you go, well, that's happening to me?
Well, that is funny because I didn't really ever... of course I know Saturday Night Live. It's a big... huge chunk of the cultural, landscape or whatever.
Most of that non-funny landscape, but go ahead.
Yeah. But I never really watched it, when I was a kid, we had SCTV in Canada. So, I was
right.
always watching SCTV.
It was the real stuff.
And of course, every time you flick past and you see that set, so somehow being on that set and recognizing it and just sort of, it's like stepping inside the television and the band, the house band, Lenny Pickett and the other guys that they played with us, and that was amazing. And there was sort of this motley crew of
Motley Crue was there?
Well, not...
That's an expression,
a
Kevin.
A Motley Crue.
Oh, sorry.
Motley Crue called their band that because it's an expression.
Ah.
See, this is entertaining and educational.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
glad
there was lots
the,
of people there. It was wild.
So many people, and that's what's funny, because I'm looking at your band, and I know Feist is here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. They're going to be performing live here in a couple minutes, but I see you've got, what, four or five guys in your band. But on stage at SNL, that first number that you did, there must have been 20 people up there. You had all those banjo players, and you had the horn section. I mean, it was a party.
Yeah. Well, the song requires a party, you know, and it was always hard to recreate it live because in the studio, we really just, you know, put a mic in the middle of the room and had the clap along, sing along, and then you can do mm-hmm. it three times and turn yourself into a choir. And live, you've got an audience who, if they're benevolent and kind and feel like making the party happen, then they could, they can sing that part. But
if not, then you're in trouble.
If not, you're in trouble. And on TV, it's, you know, it's kind of just necessary. So
now that song you're talking about where the party breaks out is, of course, 1, 2, 3, 4. And a lot of people, I think, were probably exposed to that through the iPod commercial. How does something like that happen? Does Apple just have a guy who listens to records all day and then finds something he likes and makes a phone call?
It appears to be the case because I just met that guy the other day.
Oh, is that right?
And I was able to realize there was one human being behind that decision. And and yeah, no, it was... I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. It was just Patrick Daughters and I made this video, and it's, I mean, you don't make videos so they'll never be seen, of course,
right.
Especially when it was this great, you know, collab, like working with him and making this video was such a, it was like being in kindergarten again, but with all your wiles of what you've learned about and how to do what you do. And so really, would you tell MTV not to play your video? Would you tell VH1 to just, no, please don't play it?
I mean, think not.
Apple basically just offered to play only one video on Apple TV, or, you know, the equivalent. And
you said,
and
okay.
What am I going to say? No, it was really a
no, I think it was a good move.
And it was very pure, you know, what they did with it was very, true to the video. You know, they didn't make any weird edits. They didn't, you know, have a voiceover or text all over or any kind of graphics. It was really just
to ruin
really
the song.
Pure.
How did things change after that? Did they change quickly, noticeably, or?
I mean, I live in a bubble of touring, so
right.
I really live in this really tiny little world involving my 12 people that were little circus traveling around. And so, yeah, I guess I didn't really feel it. I mean, the shows had already been booked, and the tickets
right.
had already been sold for the tour that we're in the middle of. So the external stuff wasn't so much happened. You know, I wasn't really noticing it. But, of course, you know, my mom and my brother
sure.
and, you know, their world started to be a little more, you know, shook up. So...
Pretty soon, they're going to stop bugging you to get a real job. That's, I think, what's going to come out of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that you're on TV, it must be real, right?
I invited my mom to SNL, and I think that sealed the deal for her. Yeah.
Fantastic. This is Feist in the studio this morning, the world-famous K-Rock. Their album that's out now in stores, available for download, is called The Reminder. True or false that you guys recorded that in some sort of French manner that was 200 years old?
True.
Wow, that's got to be some cool vibes.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was springtime, and there was a big, huge manor house, and we lived in it, and just sort of had this aristocratic feet up, wearing our bathrobes all day, sort of just hanging out in this house making a record. I mean, it felt very, you know, felt very sophisticated.
How tough is it being a woman in a band full of dudes?
Well, I just have sort of become a dude over the years, so it's pretty easy.
You have to outdo the dudes?
Unfortunately, I often do outdo the dudes, and then I realize, wait a minute, I better put a skirt on today and just...
The Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City, night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas is Sunday, December 9th. Of course, you know by now, Feist is on the bill along with Muse, Modest Mouse, Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups, Spoon, and The Shins. It's a great lineup. Keep listening to K-Rock and visiting K-Rock.com for details on how to buy those tickets. We'll let you know. May we take a break and come back and hear from you and the guys?
All right.
That'd be good because that's what we're expecting.
Okay.
Night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas is December 9th. Feist is on the bill. Feist is here. You and the guys. What song are you going to do for us first here, guys?
I think we'll play 1, 2, 3, 4.
Fantastic. Live music from Feist on K-Rock.
Oh, you're changing your heart. Oh, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, or 10. Money can't buy you back the love that you had then.
That is Feist on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous Q-Rock. You've seen it on the iPod commercials. You've heard it on the CD. The reminder, now you've heard it live on the Kevin and Bean Show. That is called 1234. The band is here because they're on night number 2 of the Q-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, December 9th at the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City. How about something else? You came all the way down here to play. Would you mind doing a second one for us?
Yeah, my pleasure. I think we'll play I Feel It All.
Here we go. One. I feel it all.
breaks my heart. I'll end it though you started truth and lies. Truth and lies. Lies to lies. Lies to lies. And then lies to lies. Oh, 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 oh.
Live music from Feist. Canned applause on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
If we weren't so lazy, we'd actually be clapping for you, Feist. But instead, we just have it on tape.
It's okay. You guys do this every day.
K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007, night number two. Again, Muse, Modest Mouse, Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups, Feist, Spoon, and The Shins.
We'll see you guys on Sunday the night. Thanks a lot for coming in this morning.
Thanks for the invite.
Right now, though, how about our girlfriend LaQuisha back on the line talking about the Tila Tequila reality show on MTV. Hey, LaQuisha.
How you doing?
We are good.
I'm glad you're good.
Uh-oh. What's the problem?
I'm angry.
You're mad about what?
I'm angry.
About what?
What
last night I watched the Tila Tequila show, Shot at Love.
Right.
Uh-huh.
It's on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And usually after I watch that, I go over to BET or I find some movie with Denzel or Taye Diggs or something.
Yeah, of course.
But I left it on because I went and make myself a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And I come back, and there is a show on after Shot at Love on MTV.
Yeah.
Called Shot at Love Hangover, where they have a guy playing clips of Shot at Love making fun of the people on that show.
What?
Just
really?
Like I do.
What?
Really?
Just like I do.
Huh.
And I'm thinking myself, first of all, thief.
Yeah.
And second of all, no, 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 no. You don't get to do it both. You don't get to put the show on and then say, oh, isn't this a horrible show? Let's make fun of it.
Yeah, good point.
No, it's like destroying a bathroom at work and then saying, woo, that bathroom stinks. Yep. No, it's your fault. You did it.
And I'd like to point out once again, black woman not seeing a penny from this, right?
That's right. They got some white cracker on there with a Ryan Seacrest haircut and a velour blazer doing it.
As wow. they do. As they do.
Well, anyway, now I got that off my chest. Let's talk about last night's Shot at Love with Tila Tequila, shall we?
Yep.
First and foremost, they always start off every show with a challenge, with some sort of competition. Because, as you know, that's how you find true love.
That's been proven.
And we knew at the beginning of this one, it was going to be about Tila Tequila, and her exotic lifestyle.
Like, Tila's a world traveler. It's going to take someone incredible to keep up with Tila.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to take someone incredible to keep up with her. You're going to have, like, every STD known to man to compare with Tila Tequila. And finally, they get into the backyard, and Tila tells them what the competition is all about.
So for my career, my lifestyle, I travel the globe all the time, all over the world, and I can't always have the foods that I want. And I want to make sure that you guys can handle life on the road with me.
What does she do that she's traveling the world?
What does she do?
What career does she have that is making her globe trot around everywhere?
I have no idea.
Wherever she's working, I think Maxim has a studio somewhere in the United States. She could probably get a burger someplace.
Yeah, you're right.
Does she strip or anything? I don't think she doesn't even do that,
no.
right?
Well, all I know is they have to compete by eating bizarre foods in order to win her affection. They have to eat all kinds of weird things.
Okay.
Where do they come up with an idea like that? Having people eat all kinds of strange animal parts.
Never heard of it before,
this show's so damn original.
Yeah.
Well, here is what's on the menu for the Tila Tequila competition.
Under your platter, you're going to find a bull's penis and some testicles.
There you have it.
Wow.
There you have it.
I hope Joe Rogan is suing.
And that's how you prove your love.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So the men and the women, or the lesbians, whatever you want to call them,
sure.
They got to eat this. And whoever eats it the fastest wins. Now, this is a real problem for Amanda because she's got, you know, she's a vegetarian.
No, sure.
This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. Like, for reals. I haven't eaten red meat in 15 years.
For real.
For reals. That's true.
LaQuisha, wouldn't it be tough to eat a bull penis if you're a lesbian as well?
I think it would.
Yeah.
But you have to worry about red meat because it's basically gray. It's sort of like gray meat. So you don't need to worry about that so much. Danny, the butch lesbian firefighter, she had a hard time during the competition.
So this is absolutely the first time I've had in my mouth, and it's the last time I want to choke on it.
That's just
wow.
The truth.
Wow.
Yeah,
how charming.
That's a problem for a lesbian right there.
Wow.
The joke that Bean did earlier before I got to this one.
Wow.
Didn't know that was coming. Sorry about that.
Well, then just shut up, then. Just shut up, Bean. If you don't know something's coming, just keep your damn mouth shut.
My apologies.
Well, everybody is having a hard time choking down the penis and testicles.
Sure.
As you can imagine. And it wouldn't be good reality unless we had some on-screen vomiting. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
How about some more?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No more.
Oh, yeah. Good times. Well, it turns out that Amanda, in spite of her vegan upbringing, she won for the girls. And Bobby won for the boys. And Stephen, one of the other fellas, he didn't think it was fair.
Bobby didn't want it more than I did. Bobby's just better at eating testicles and penis than I am.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. Well, Amanda and Bobby figure, finally, we won. That's great. Now we're done. No. Now they have to go into the playoffs.
What?
Where they continue to eat more bizarre things one-on-one. Bobby versus Amanda.
They ate a bull's penis and balls, and that wasn't enough.
No, that's not enough.
Okay.
Here's the menu for the playoffs.
One, there are eyeballs in there because you only have eyes for me.
Oh, my God.
I have a heart in there because this is about love. And a shot of blood to help you get it all down.
Yeah.
Just say no, people.
For those of you that think anyone can write TV, I give you this program.
There's bull eyes on there because you only have eyes for you.
Wow.
There's a bull's heart in there because it's all about love. And there's blood because that's what I want to see Tila Tequila shed at some point on his show.
Yeah, no,
I want her to bleed out at the last episode.
Wow.
Well, they have to eat it.
They do not like bulls on this show, I'll tell you
they
that.
They do not. At least they got the head of the bull on the table.
Oh, no.
Stripped of its hide.
Oh, no.
Just like a fleshy muscle skull just sitting there looking at you.
Is this a TV dating show or a snuff film? What are we talking about here?
Well, we have a winner. Bobby wins. Bobby wins.
We have a winner. You proved that you would put just about anything in your mouth.
And that's what you're looking for in true love. Someone you can dare to put anything in their mouth and they do it.
That's true.
Hey, put this dog poopy in your mouth if you really love me.
Yeah.
Well, as you can imagine, Amanda, the vegetarian, has some regrets that she did not win the competition. And yet she had to eat all those different animal parts.
Yeah.
I feel bad that I don't get time with her. And that I compromise my ethical, stance. You know what I mean? Besides that, I put, 5,000 calories of fat.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my God. It's, so fattening.
There's the ethics, and then, really, the important
Most
thing,
Most important
fat.
Part is the cellulite on her ass.
Yeah.
Well, after the competition, Brandy and Vanessa started going at it again. These two girls do not get along. They fought before on this show. And Vanessa's a bit of a drinker. And Brandy don't like her none anyway. And when Vanessa drinks, she gets a mouth on her. And things go south pretty quick.
Drink your vodka. That's what makes you feel better.
Lying, being a slut. That makes what you feel better.
That makes what you feel better. You do.
That's right.
Well, here's the thing. Vanessa, she just has a bad temper. She's been throwing things around. The whole time she's been here, she's been causing trouble. And she is got an urge she's trying desperately to repress.
As much as I would want to jump over the counter and beat the crap out of Brandy, I wouldn't do that because I'm here for Tila.
Oh, that's sweet.
Come on.
You're a kind girl to do that.
Jump over and beat up. Come on.
But Vanessa has some plans when her and Tequila finally become a couple.
When it's all over and Tila's my girl, we'll both beat your ass. Fine.
Well, there.
See, like
something they can do together. She's willing to postpone the joy of beating somebody up so she can share it with the girl she loves.
That's nice.
Aww.
Now, as you can imagine, at the end of the show, the way these things work out, there's only one key left to give to see who stays on the show.
Uh-oh.
And one person got to go. Who do you think it come down to? Brandy and Vanessa.
Sure.
The two girls who hate each other. It's down to elimination. Who will get another shot at love with Tila Tequila?
Brandy, you still have a shot at love. Are you interested?
Lying
Vanessa jumps her ass and starts to beat her like only a lesbian can.
Jerry! 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 That's awesome!
Full-blown lesbian brawl.
Awesome!
Pulling her hair and kicking and hitting with pumps and sticking high heels in the butt and everything. It was amazing! And then, remember how racist cowboy dude had his meltdown?
Oh, yeah.
And nothing compared to Vanessa, who refuses to leave this show. She's holding on to the furniture. They're trying to drag her off the set.
I like it.
Brandy, you're not here for her. That's why I voted you first. So I'm here for the other. She's not here for anybody. I want Sheila more than anybody can watch her.
Do you have to fail some sort of psychological evaluation to be on this show?
Absolutely.
Everybody damn crazy.
That's fantastic.
And Brandy has the most shocking revelation at all. She rejects the key.
What?
Really?
She rejects the key that Tila Tequila gave her.
So she's going off the show herself?
She's walking off. She can't do it no more.
How about that?
I'm in love with you. I can't do this anymore.
I can't. Here, ask them. Who knows who I'm here for? It's for you. Ask them. They know. All know she's hiding something.
She just can't do it no more.
What in God. The hell is
but
going
she
on?
She does love her. She tells Tila she loves her before she breaks down.
Right, sure.
Because you know how easy it is to fall in love in front of other lesbians on a television show while you're eating bull penis? What the hell?
Unbelievable.
What the damn hell?
That's why you watch, LaQuisha.
With this show. What the damn hell?
That rules.
Lesbians are crazy. I'm so glad I like penis.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, LaQuisha.
All right.
Thank you. Coming up just after the top of the hour, your chance to win tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. You're going to have to play a game.
I want them.
Give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067.
Is it going to be an easy game?
No, it's going to be on the harder side.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Among the most difficult games we've ever played?
I would say so, yeah.
How about out of all the other games around the globe, how would it rate with those?
I would say it's not on the easy side. I would say lean toward heavy. That's what I would
lean
say.
Lean towards heavy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what that
all right.
means. I don't
either. Play that one pretty close to your vest,
I
don't
know.
You?
I am.
Ralph is here with the show with Pete for Wednesday. What's going on?
Oh, things are getting tough for O.J. Simpson.
Oh, it's too bad.
The testimony continued in a preliminary hearing yesterday into his case where he was involved in a allegedly involved in an armed robbery regarding some sports memorabilia. One of the guys who took the stand is one of the guys who had the plea bargain for his testimony.
Mm-hmm.
He told the case, told the judge in the case rather, that OJ told him to bring the heat.
Yes.
When invited to accompany him to the gentleman's room where he had the sports.
Does he think he's a mobster?
Apparently he is, yeah.
And this would be in contrast to Mr. Simpson's claim that he did not know there were going to be guns in the room.
That's right. Walter Alexander was the name of the guy who was testifying yesterday. Apparently a golfing buddy of OJ's. That's bad news. The guy you golf with says, hey, bring the heat and let's go rob somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said he kept his gun in his waistband. But when he got into the room, he saw the other guy waving a gun, and that's when he knew he was involved in an armed robbery.
Okay.
Really?
Don't you know you're involved in an armed robbery when you're bringing a gun to a room to rob some dude? Isn't that pretty much a giveaway?
You would think.
A hint of some kind?
You think that'd be a hint?
Yeah.
That's not a gun?
Wow.
How dare you. Bad news for Britney Spears. She is going to be in court today to battle for custody with her ex-husband, Kevin Federline, over their two children. And just in time for that hearing, yesterday, it was made public by TMZ.com that Britney tested positive for methamphetamine.
It's Britney, bitch.
Yeah.
Methamphetamine.
You know, she is under court-ordered drug tests, random drug tests, and the court says, yeah, we found methamphetamine in your system. Care to explain? Heard people say that she was on a drug called Provigil.
Provigil. Yes.
I should have known to go to Kevin. I can ask Kevin, who was the guy who starred in the Johnny Carson show? He wouldn't be able to come up with it. If I said, you know, you ever see this Blue Man Group? You ever see those guys? What color are they? He would come up with red. But if I have a drug question,
yeah,
Kevin's the guy to correct me on the pronunciation of that.
We call him the pharmacist around here. That's his nickname.
Provigil is the name of the drug.
Provigil.
Kevin?
Provigil.
And what do you take there?
Yeah, what is Provigil?
It's just like an energy booster.
Oh, is it, Kevin?
Yeah.
I see. take that on the way out of the house in the morning?
That's not really a, it's not one of the heavy drugs. It's
well,
not,
that's what the court said. They said we wouldn't find that much. Unless we were specifically looking for it, and we weren't. You have any other choices? They said, oh, yeah, it was albuterol, an asthma drug. It has been widely reported that Britney does not have asthma, but she uses asthma inhalers as an appetite suppressant. That's when the court came back and said, yeah, albuterol is not an amphetamine. That wouldn't show up in the test like this either.
So do we think she's taken meth? Is that what we're led to believe? She doesn't even live in Riverside.
Oh, but she does in her heart. I mean,
yeah,
let's be honest.
That's true. Who's more Riverside than she is?
More white trash than Britney.
Nobody. And here's the great thing about leaving a long-running TV show. Scrubs will leave the air this year. They're in their final season.
Right.
And by the way, it's time to go.
You think so?
Yeah, have you been watching Scrubs?
Yeah, I love that show.
Past two seasons.
I love it.
I'm kind of with Ralph on that.
The whole thing with JD having the baby and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the great thing about it is you can start to talk crap about people you work with, and it doesn't matter because you're not trying to get picked up. You're not going to be going back to work together, so it doesn't matter.
Sure.
So they were at the New York Comedy Festival, the cast of Scrubs, and they were asked about the best and worst co-stars they ever had on the show. Guest stars.
Okay.
They said Kerry Russell and Brendan Fraser were great to work with. However, the worst guest star ever during the show's 7-year run?
Tell us.
Tara Reid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The entire cast complained she smelt like cigarettes and alcohol.
That's consistent with what we've heard about her.
Which, by the way, ladies, if you want to get over on me,
oh yeah,
that's the scent. Put a little of that behind your ears for me, and I am yours. Yep. So it may not work for the cast of Scrubs, but I appreciate it.
You do.
A good Marlboro 100 sort of, cognac mix. I like it.
At least she's a good enough actress, though, that it makes it worth putting up with being uncomfortable to deal with.
You sarcastic son of a bitch.
Well, I think he was being
serious.
How
dare you? Today's celebrity birthday is Laura Sangiacomo. Or is it Giacomo?
No.
I think the one you said first sounds right to me.
If it was a drug, Kevin would know.
Yeah, he sure would. He's never heard of this actress, though, but he certainly would know how to pronounce it if it were a prescription.
She was on Just Shoot Me, also played Julia Roberts' best friend in the movie Pretty Woman. She's 45 years old today. Reverend Run of Run DMC turns 43. Josh Duhamel from Las Vegas is 35. Travis Barker from Blink-182, their drummer, is 32. Patrick Warburton, Putty on Seinfeld, and also one of the talented cast members of The Family Guy, is 43 years old today. And our own Bean Baxter, Gene Baxter, celebrates his birthday today, and we wish him the very best. Bean, what are your big plans for your birthday? What are you going to do tonight?
It's funny you bring this up because
you're going to rock?
I was thinking about it this morning. I woke up. This was just so bizarre. I woke up at exactly straight up midnight this morning.
Wow.
Okay? Which was weird because that's when it became my birthday.
Right.
And I stayed awake for like 2 hours. And one of the things that, and I don't know why I couldn't get back to sleep. One of the things I was thinking about is, why do I hate my birthday so much? Why am I a person who has never celebrated birthdays, not comfortable with birthdays, really don't look forward to birthdays?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because birthdays represent life. You love death.
I do love death. But here's my revelation, Kevin. And you're going to be very pleased with this. I don't have the Asperger syndrome, as you know.
Of course not.
But one of the things, one of the central tenets of the Asperger syndrome is you don't like your routine to be disrupted.
Right.
And on your birthday, everybody treats you different. And everything is different.
Oh, that's
on your birthday.
True.
Because they like, wish you happy birthday, and then you're all uncomfortable.
And he's all crazy.
Weird.
And they give
calls
you gifts, and you
gifts
don't like it. You don't want it. It's just weird. And I think that, I mean, I know I don't have the Asperger's. I'm not suggesting I do.
Right,
but it's
sure.
just, it's interesting that that is yet the 200th identical comparison that I can make to people who do have the Asperger's, but I still don't have it. But I think that's what it is. It totally upsets. I mean, there's all this pressure now to do something different today, and I don't want to do anything different. I just want it to be the same as it was yesterday. Does that make sense?
It does, but who's
in a
pressuring
sad,
you
sad
to
way.
Do some?
Well, Donna's like, so what do you want to do tomorrow? And I'm like, I don't know. Whatever I did today is fine, you know, but it's everything's different. My routine is upset, and that makes me very uncomfortable.
Bean.
Don't take away my blue pens, and don't try to get me to do something on November 14th.
But it's not as though you never go to concerts and movies and
Once
stuff.
In a while
you
do
disrupt
things.
Your own routine from time to time.
But he doesn't like it.
But it's random, Lisa. It's randomly. It's not pre-planned disruption.
God, if I were Don, I would hate you so much.
Well, Donna already hates him so
much.
Yeah,
she already hates me too.
Don't you get so like a free muffin at Denny's or something, though? Doesn't that make your day?
To answer your question, my plan is just to hole up here in Clown Town, try not to see her, try not to see anybody.
Wow.
Really, just pray for the minutes to speed on by and make it be November 15th as quickly as possible.
Spectacular.
Wow.
You are just a cornucopia of joy.
Isn't he?
By the way, side stage.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That band Rise Against, night number one of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. We mentioned night number two earlier this morning, Sunday, December 9th, at the Gibson Amphitheater. And that's Muse and Feist and Jimmy Eat World, Modest Mouse, The Shins, Silver Sun Pickups, and Spoon.
Mm-hmm. Very different. Very different. Both great shows. On sale information coming very, very soon to K-Rock. You can win a pair right now. And if you've been paying attention to the bands that are playing both nights, that helps you because here's a little game we like to call.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Good morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Now, they're not going to let you drink this year at the Acoustic Christmas shows. You and Mrs. Announcer Man got very out of hand backstage last year, if you'll recall.
Yes, we did. We were on top of the Christmas tree, humping like chipmunks.
Yeah, I don't think that's an image I'll ever get out of my brain. So how is the game played for folks who've never heard this one before?
It's simple. We'll play for you a piece of audio. All you need to do is identify which band from K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night one and two, we're talking about. Oh, I forgot to mention, they'll be backwards.
Yay!
So we say the name of the band, and it's backwards, and you have to tell us which band it is. It could be either night, and then you get to pick. If you win the drawing, you get to pick which night you want to go.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Well, that sure doesn't sound easy, I'll tell you that. Mr. Announcer Man, who's our first contestant this morning?
Let's talk to Ray. He's from Long Beach. He works for DirecTV.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, fellas?
The hardest game in the world is going on, my friend.
All right, sounds here, good. One second. Lisa May?
Yes.
Really hot.
Thank you.
All right. Here's your band backwards. Tell us which one it is.
Laura Image.
One more time.
Laura Image.
Which band that's playing this year's acoustic is that backwards?
Can I get one more time?
Could I have asked that worse?
No. 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 Two's all we have time for because we have a lot of contestants. But you got
to
take a guess.
For Kevin.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Silver Sun Pickups.
Jimmy Eat World.
Sorry, good guess, though. Not a bad guess at all. Thank you for playing, Jay. Who's next?
This
is
a difficult
game. It is not an easy game. No.
Let's talk to Jackie. She's in Diamond Bar. She works at Disneyland.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey, what's up?
You ready to play the hardest game in the world?
Yes, I am.
Here's your band.
Nightmares.
One more time.
Nightmares.
Wow, that's almost the same backwards as it is forwards.
Yeah.
Surge Tankian.
Nicely done.
Jackie, well done. Congratulations.
Hold on. If nobody else gets it, you'll win. And if somebody else gets it, you will be in the drawing.
Next up is Alex. She's in Torrance. She services customers.
Customer
service.
Hang on, Mr. Announcement. He has that wrong, Alex. That's not what you do. You don't service customers, right?
Maybe. No.
Maybe.
Right. Maybe you do. Okay, that's fine. Depends. All right, listen up. Hardest game of the world. Here's the band backwards. You just tell us what it is forwards.
Okay.
Wolf Nevis Geneva.
One more time.
Wolf Nevis Geneva.
Avenged Sevenfold.
Avenged Sevenfold.
Nice. Look at that.
Girls are smart.
Wow. Yeah, they sure are, Mr. Announcer Man.
Let's see if a guy can be smart, too. We'll talk to Fred. He's calling from Orange.
Sure doesn't seem like this game's very hard, does it?
No.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Asperger?
Hi.
I thought he said the fast burger. I was like, what in the hell is he talking about? All right, here's your band backwards.
All right.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that.
One more time.
Yep.
I'm going to say Feist.
Yeah.
Feist.
Nicely done.
Well done, Fred.
All right, you hold on for the drawing.
I'm sorry, David King of Mexico, what city was he calling from?
Orange.
That's right. Thank you.
Right said, Fred, by the way.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
Yes. Let's talk to Julian next. He's in Irvine. He's a computer dude.
Hey, Julian.
Hey, guys.
You ready for your band backwards?
Yep.
Here you go.
Oh, Mara.
One more time.
Omara.
Paramore?
Paramore.
This is the easiest game of the world.
It really is.
Not a tough game at all. More people are getting them than are not getting them.
One more. Who do we have?
Let's talk to Isela from Anaheim. She's a job coach. Go Jobs!
Hey, guys.
Hey, Isela.
Happy birthday, Bean.
Thank you, Isela. You ready for your band?
Yeah.
There you go.
Groff Nickel.
One more time.
Groff Nickel.
Is it Linkin Park?
Lincoln Park.
Come on! Look at that. Look at that.
Never been an easier game in the history of games than this one.
Everybody's getting it.
We need to rename it.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to. So let me see. So Jackie, Alex, Fred, Julian, and Isela are all in the drawing. Lisa is going to reach into the imaginary hat and pull out a name, and we'll find out who wins the tickets.
The winners, Julian and Irvine.
Julian and Irvine. All right. Julian, congratulations.
Thank you.
Which night do you want to go to?
Night number two.
You got it. Night number two of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. Thank you for playing. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Ben.
I can't wait to hump at Acoustic Christmas.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:45, and it is time to go to your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Which band was that we just played, Kevin? Can you read that one?
Pear. Sorry.
I'm buying him a copy of My Daddy Can't Read for Christmas. That's all there is to it. Hey, 1-800-520-1067, as usual. That's the toll-free number here at K-Rock. You get a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Warren Miller's new film called Playground in Santa Monica on December the 4th. I come across these every once in a while on the satellite, and I always think, how can he still be making movies? Hasn't he made like 100 of them? Every one of them is good. That's what's unbelievable about the footage that he gets on from the people who do the skiing and stuff. Anyway, you get to go see that, plus a pair of passes to Ski Dazzle at the LA Convention Center. That's coming up November 29th through December the 2nd.
All right, let's begin with Ray in Pacific Palisades. Good morning, Ray.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Ray?
So I work at a little mom-and-pop video store over there. Very tiny store. And right. I'm about to close up. And Nikki Hilton, followed by her sister Paris, walked right into the door.
Okay. All right.
And she's looking around, and the first thing she does is make me hold her purse for her. She actually makes me physically hold her purse.
She handed you and said, can you hold this while I look?
She handed me the book and said, could you hold on this for a sec? In a really, really low, deep, nasty voice.
And did you say to her, I'm sorry, Miss Hilton, I don't work for you?
Well, I was half in shock and half in sort of deep anger.
Did you do what I would have done, which is grab the purse and then go through it while she's looking for videos?
Run out the door. That's what I would have done.
What I really wanted to do, I just came into my mind. A lot of options. But what I did was just turn around and put it straight on the trash bin and just waited for her to browse around. And she ended up buying $95 worth of Family Guy DVDs.
Sweet.
No kidding.
Oh, how about that?
Check in my mailbox.
Yeah,
about that.
She has a deep voice, but then when she talks to regular customers and other people, it's very squeaky and high.
Did you ask her to check out your porn section in your video store?
We do rent out One Night in Paris.
Yes.
Oh, that sends her into a tailspin when she sees that.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, say, can you hold this for me, Paris?
By the way, Ralph, speaking of the Family Guy and the DVD box set, the Sweet Freaking Collection or whatever it's called, it's out now. How much of a hurry were they to make money for this Christmas that the box set goes through the middle of the season and then stops? I mean, they couldn't even wait and do it like next year at the end of a season.
The kids demand it, man. The kids demand it. It's not our choice.
I know they are huge sellers. Every one of those DVDs is a big, big seller, and it should be. They're great shows. But it's so funny, the timing of this one.
All right. Maryland is your name?
What it do, nephew?
In Walnut.
What it do?
What it do?
What's going on, Maryland?
Hey, baby boo.
Hi.
What's happening?
Hi, Ralph.
Hi there.
All right. We got the highs taken care of.
All right. I have a question for all the straight homophobic men. I'm referring back to your show a couple days ago.
Okay.
Why is it that when there's a whole bunch of guys are passed out, that the first thing that they do is go for the junk?
That's a good question, because it is quite gay what guys do to each other.
It really is.
I think you're trying to make it as uncomfortable and as embarrassing as possible for the victim.
Right. Understood.
So you
want the point? That's the part of a man's body he protects the most.
I just want to know because it's like,
that's why.
Ew. Anyway.
No, that's why, because of ooh. That's what the reaction that you want from you is as strong as possible.
That's the part of you you want messed with least in life. Right. And then when you wake up and you find you have been tinkered with in that region, it's very disturbing for you.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm glad I don't have any junk.
There's your answer. I'm glad you don't as well.
Plus, just get your hands on a guy's junk.
Thank you, Marilyn.
That's hot.
I'm sorry?
Never mind. I don't know what I'm saying.
You said that out loud. You know that, right, Rob? We got some great emails from different K-Rock listeners, by the way, who had pulled the old smearing Vaseline on perhaps the backside of a drug victim and having him wake up with that and not understand how it got there or what
Vaseline
might have happened.
On the backside of a drunk victim. I don't understand what you're getting at there, Bean.
Well, I don't want to be more descriptive than that.
A little too oblique for me.
All right, let's go to Mike in Lawrence, Kansas, listening online.
He's taking
for granted.
That's
Mike.
A lie.
What did you guys?
What did
is that the surprising Kansas Jayhawks college football team this year? Is that where you are?
Jayhawks, yeah. Hey, I emailed you like over the summer because I saw the pictures online that you were in Kansas, Dean.
Yeah, I was. I came out to visit y'all on vacation, yeah.
Y'all.
Yeah.
Dean's the only one of us that would pick Kansas to go on vacation. And no other place around, just Kansas.
I'm going to Smallville this year.
I know.
Smallville.
He was like a block away from me when he took the Chesky Lions picture. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, anyway, back to the midget story. I was at the Nebraska game, and there was a midget wearing the Cornhusker shirt. Everyone was making fun of him because he was the enemy. And then I, being like a loyal listener, I made fun of the fact that he's a midget.
Good. Right.
And so he came over, and then he pushed me, and I was just surprised because I didn't want to hit a midget. What was I supposed to do?
You got your ass beat by a midget?
What was I supposed to do? Like, stick my arm out against his forehead so he could just swing aimlessly?
Yes, that's comedy.
Always works in the movies.
Yeah.
Was he, let me ask you this, though, protecting your safety here. Was he a wild midget or was he domesticated? Could you tell?
He seemed to be domesticated. They call it cattle.
Okay, then you just, have to put a leash on his collar. That's
just
all.
Go,
then
you get... like that.
Dude, he's wearing a Cornhusker shirt. You could have called him a niblet.
Niblet, yeah.
Corn niblets.
Yeah, but I did the Kevin and Bean thing by calling him a midget.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. I like that.
Because he sure didn't know that.
We don't really go around calling people midgets, do we? Midget! You're a midget! Look how small you are! Midget! Get him!
That's what we should say.
I gotta get one. I really have been on a tear lately about owning one. And I was so pissed. We had Vince Vaughn on the other day talking about his Fred Claus movie. He had 50 of those little Russian midgets in the movie playing elves in Fred Claus, right?
Yeah.
They didn't even... What do you think that would be the parting gift for the stars? Like, don't you think Vince ought to get one as a going-away party gift? Don't you think?
I mean, I know that he was quite uncomfortable when you started bringing up owning them.
But why wouldn't you want to own one? They're so awesome.
You can't keep the Russian ones in the States because they haven't had their shots.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
They spread midget distemper. Then the other midgets get it here, and that's a plague.
You don't want that. You know they're smarter than pigs? Did you know that?
What?
Midgets are smarter than pigs. You can teach them to do almost anything.
Scientifically?
Yes. They've done tests in labs.
Can't be house trained. I know that.
Well, that is true. That's the one downside.
They got midget poop everywhere.
What the hell is wrong with you? You're acting like a jerk.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Kevin in Pasadena. Good morning, Kevin.
What to do, nephews?
What to do?
Baby boo.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey, so I was just thinking back on my favorite acoustic Christmas memories, and I was thinking you guys need to bring back making someone go get the acoustic Christmas tree. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to do that a lot.
Gosh, a long time ago. I remember when you made Fat Tad drive all the way up in the sidecar.
Yeah. On a motorcycle, tree. Yeah. That was lightning.
Funny. Yeah.
The problem was, it's kind of you to remember that, the problem was that we sent them about as far as they could go. I mean, once you send someone to Christmas Island in Nova Scotia, you really, there's no more distance. There's nothing further that you can make them drive to. So it kind of got less funny the more we picked closer places.
Mm-hmm. So we just got to up the ante and just do something completely different, not about distance. I don't know, about maybe make someone try to steal a tree or something.
Steal a tree. Okay.
Well, it does have the Christmas spirit all over it, I'll tell you that.
Work on that one.
Jesus would be proud.
The problem is, too, we have less expendable staff members than we used to have, too.
Yeah, true. Yeah. You know? We used to be able to send lightning and we wouldn't miss them at all.
Right.
Right, that's true. Ralph, were you here one year when we came very, very close to sending them to Chile and there was a lot of concern about if it would be safe for them driving through Mexico and places like that and Costa Rica and countries that are at war and we ended up not doing it?
The tree fetching stunts were all before my time.
Yeah. We came
up with
some
so hard ideas on this show, man.
We came up with some great ideas, and they would always shut us down. The good ones, they would shut down. We'd go, forget it, Dan.
Let's take one more. Let's close with Gina. She's in Yorba Linda, and she's on line six. Final call for the Kevin and Bean What It Do Nephew. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning. What It Do Nephew?
What It Do.
What It Do.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Gina.
You just said you're being too oblique for me.
I believe I said that to Bean, yes.
Yeah.
It's obscure, not oblique. Oblique is an abdominal muscle.
Huh. No, it's...
I believe oblique has another definition as well.
I do, too.
I thought it did as well. I could be wrong.
Get out
but...
a dictionary. I am so not kidding you.
Look it up. The fact that... The fact
that a word that has more than one syllable, know what it means.
Okay, the fact that you care this much about it is funny, and yet we're going to look it up. And if you're wrong, we're going to come over there, and we're going to cut your legs off right at the knees.
You know what I do? You know, I do know the definition of the word bitch. Because your photo is right there in the dictionary when you look that up.
Right next to it.
Yeah. This is the female bean right here. Cares too much about words.
Yeah, she's...
All right. Here's what I'm going to say. This is oblique. I'm on dictionary.com. And this will determine, by the way, whether or not you get your prize. I just want to mention that to you. Neither perpendicular nor parallel to a given line or surface, slanting and sloping. Diverging from a given straight line or course, not straight or direct as a course, indirectly stated or expressed, not straightforward. Example, oblique remarks about the candidate's honesty. Booyaka! Booyaka!
Why didn't you blow me, you whore?
I would concur,
you whore. Go kill yourself.
I want you to admit that you are wrong and that you are a failure as a human being.
Okay.
You're a piece of crap.
No, you have to say it.
Okay, I'm a piece of crap. I'm a failure as a human being.
There we go.
Excellent. All right, you can live.
No prize for you.
By the way, the 18th definition of all of them is the oblique muscles, is the anatomy definition that she said was
and
the
she
only
said
definition.
Get out a dictionary.
Yes, she did.
Wouldn't you, if you were that caller, get out the dictionary before you made the freaking call?
I certainly would.
No, I think she's probably super confident before she called.
Everybody she knows wants to punch her in the face all the time. That's
has
how
no
she
friends.
Lives her life. I well, want her to get her phone number. I want to talk to her after the show. I'm going to have lunch with this broad.
You'd be best just to let it go.
No, I'm not going to let it go.
Are you going down there and giving her some what for?
Take face full of acid time, boys.
Wait, what do you mean by that? You're being awfully oblique. I want to thank our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show. It was quite the musical day. We had Richard Cheese, he and his band Lounge Against the Machine, this morning. They were playing live for us. Dick at Night is their new album, in stores and online now. You can see them at the Aura Nightclub and Lounge in Studio City on December the 7th. And then they got two gigs at the end of the year, December 29th and 31st, at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas. Also, thanks to Feist for coming on by today. The album in stores now is called The Reminder. And Feist, of course, just announced this morning night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 show, December 9th at the Gibson Amphitheater.
All right. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Psycho Mike today is speaking at the Pentagon.
What?
Yeah. And that seems like a bad choice.
Yeah.
I mean, what? How far are they down for speak? I mean, don't they have anything to do right now? Don't we have a war going on somewhere or anything?
They seems should like- send him to Gitmo. That's where he should be giving a speech.
So we're going to talk to him tomorrow morning.
Yeah, exactly. With his speech. With telling them a story.
Of course. It'd
be worse than Abu Ghraib.
Start talking about Karate Kid.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I'll ask Mike this tomorrow, but they must have a don't ask, don't tell policy for speakers that they book at the Pentagon, right?
That's true.
Go there if he was an employee of the government.
That is true. Also, tomorrow morning, we're going to talk to a K-Rock listener who claims that he was a Jehovah's Witness. I don't know if he still is or not, but he was a Jehovah's Witness and went out door to door when Michael Jackson, the singer, was a Jehovah's Witness and went with Michael Jackson door to door.
As an adult in the late 80s, early 90s, he went door to door. Yeah,
that's what I think. It's too good to be true.
It's got to be making that.
Michael, like, take a security guard or something? But if it's true, I'm so happy. I can't wait to talk to this guy. And also, more tickets for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 tomorrow morning.
When do we get to start talking to some Miss Double D potential contestants for the honor that is happening on November the 30th?
Word, my brother.
I think next week. I'm not positive.
So you can apply now. You go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean section, fill out the questionnaire, upload your picture, be 21 and up if you want to be Miss Double December 2008. And then starting next week, we get to start interviewing the gals. That's the plan?
The 26th. November 26th is the plan. So I believe that's right after Thanksgiving.
And we're going to have them demonstrate some of their talents as well.
Yes,
we
are.
I'm looking forward to
on video.
Given what some of the girls have said their talents are, I'm looking forward to that whole deep-throwing beer bottle exhibition.
Put it online.
Sure. Yeah. Good times. All right. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Got some Green Day for you. Also, Foo Fighters, Oasis, new music from Rise Against. Also, Pearl Jam, Linkin Park, and more. After this on KRQ-FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles.